The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn,
and my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Sky rockets in flight.
Woo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The only thing better than our draft extravaganza show is the show before the draft extravaganza show. And this is what you're listening to. We'll be on 12 to 2 today, our last show before the draft. So if you have any pre-draft questions, emails, calls, get them in. We've got a lot already that have come in. Calls, the Comrex stack is already lighting up. That's what we call it. It's a technical term.
I think that's what the company calls it, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's... That's the
we don't call it that. Comrex. It's not like we've nicknamed it Comrex.
Well, in the industry.
The cute little Comrex.
When you say Comrex, that's what they're saying. Eric's here with his Vikings V-neck, so looking good.
It's purple. It's not a Vikings V-neck.
Wow.
It's
certainly not a Patriots V-neck.
It's no team's V-neck. It's just a V-neck sweater that happens to be purple.
It's a Vikings V-neck. All right, so we'll be here until 2 o'clock.
He already Andy wants to start.
You're going to start again.
Kevin,
have to separate
I don't know what
you.
It is.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline, 855-PATS-500, toll free.
Fred, I'm a little worried about the grounds crew.
Excited!
Yeah, Kick, hold on, it's 2 days away.
Yeah, he's going to peak too early. You just can't do it.
And you're only doing two of the three shows?
Yeah.
I'm doing Thursday night and Friday night. I have a graduation on Saturday. So.
Okay.
What's the matter with the grounds crew?
I think they may have lost their mind.
Really?
They're watering the field.
I heard you have to do that.
I know. I'm just. Yeah. It makes the pellets settle, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, but it just looks funny.
I know.
Paul and I shot something up in one for Patriots Today, a mock draft that I believe will be posted later today or tomorrow, which is worth watching. Go check it out. But we look out the window and they're just watering the field. And I was like, somebody might want to tell them.
It's not grass.
Yeah, they do. And I think in the summer you need to do it too when it's really hot.
Why, so it doesn't melt?
I don't know.
Maybe to keep the pellets from getting too hot?
I've seen them. Now, you don't have to water it like regularly like you do grass, but you do every once in a while have
really?
To wet these things down, yeah.
Interesting.
That's funny. It was just an image. I wanted to tape it.
Are these the hybrid real and plastic?
No. This is all plastic. It's all fake.
It's all fake?
No, all fake.
Do they still make those?
I don't believe so. That was like the rage in like Denver and a couple places. I'm not sure that really caught on.
Yeah.
Speaking of grass, I'm planting more grass near the pool. I've retaken some of the woods.
Oh, yeah?
And leveled it out, and the grass is coming up after 2 weeks. It's really nice.
All right. Yeah. It's almost time to start planning your bash.
I know.
Figuring out which catering you're going to get.
I know.
I offered up the idea of the Boston bacon truck coming.
Yeah, everything bacon.
Boston bacon? It's like one of those new food trucks in Boston, apparently.
They just serve bacon.
It's like it looks like a pig. It's pink, and it's painted, and they have all like bacon-based foods and menu and everything.
They have bacon ice cream?
I don't know. They have bacon desserts. I know that. We should probably talk about the draft.
Dells.
Yeah. We should probably save the off-season talk for the real, like, low point.
No, we're getting excited. It's almost that time.
So what do you think? What are you hearing?
I'm hearing that the Patriots are going to take Rashid Haigman.
I think it's comical, though. No.
It's just every mock draft, group mock, everybody's doing, and I think
you know what that means?
They're not going to.
Right.
That's what that means.
No, there's no chance. And it's not just because everybody's picking it. I don't like him. I think he's a better idea than he is a player, not consistent or productive, a little bit of a tease, big, you know, Seymour build, you're lusting after the size and athleticism, but then he's not really that good. And Patriots doing that.
What if they still ran the 3-4?
I still don't think he's that good. I think Tuitt's a better player. Stephon, apparently. I could have been calling him Steven, but I've heard some Stephons.
Stephon Tuitt.
Tuitt.
That's
what
we call him.
Yeah, I see what you did there. Yeah. I won't forget it. I was going to say something stupid, but I was going to say I'd buy every listener lunch if we take it.
Like I don't think you want to get into that.
A long line, Kevin, to get your lunch.
I like when he says, I was going to say, doesn't say it for a few seconds, then can't help himself and says it anyway.
I told what I was going to say. I am not on the record saying I will buy lunch. I want to be very clear of that. I want that noted.
But if you go on to NFL.com, there's all these rumors. Have things like Jets mulling, you know, moving up. Let me tell you, I think every team except for the Texans are mulling moving up. Right, yeah. They're also mulling.
No, the Texans are still. The Texans are moving
down.
Up. The Texans are going to draft tomorrow.
And, and I understand what your point is, but the Texans are probably mulling moving up too from 33.
Right.
They're probably moving up too. Yeah.
Right. Even in there. Right. So
the other one I saw was the headline was Patriots and like two or three other teams in the mix for Coney Ealy. All 32 teams are in the mix for Coney Ealy as of today.
Right. And who was
He will be available Thursday.
Yes.
And who was the other one that, I don't know if they tweeted or wrote a story, I forget who it was, just a couple days ago said that there's a possibility there's going to be a draft day move that's just going to blow the doors off the whole draft.
I never heard that.
I haven't heard that one.
It was a couple days ago. Somebody was writing it that they're hearing that there's a possibility.
The Dallas one?
I don't know. It didn't.
Because I had heard someone say something about trading Romo,
picking Manziel.
That would blow.
Supposedly,
they're lusting.
I did hear about the Bradford and Minnesota.
Oh yeah, rumors. Minnesota and St. Louis.
I hadn't heard that one. What's that one?
That St. Louis is talking with Minnesota about trading Sam Bradford.
Yeah. Andy heard the same thing that I did about Dallas.
Yeah.
Supposedly, Jerry Jones is so in love with
really.
With what are Manziel your sources that he's Dallas thinking about Fred. Trading
my sources
Romo
in Dallas
to Jacksonville?
My sources in Dallas are saying that they do not want Johnny Manziel, particularly in the first round.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
but that would definitely be a wow move. The Cowboys in a deal is impressive. Then you put their quarterback in it, and then you add Johnny Manziel.
Oh, yeah.
You have like the perfect scenario for
the Sam Bradford one. That would be a big trade. That wouldn't be, I don't think, what Fred's describing. Romo, to me, would be.
Mm.
And, you know, Romo trading because they want to draft Johnny Manziel, that to me would be what you're talking about.
Now, I think
the kind of trade that would stand the draft on its ear.
The Rams could potentially pick 2, 8, and 13 in that scenario. Because I assume they're getting a first-round pick for Bradford.
I would think so, yeah.
I wouldn't make that assumption.
I know you wouldn't. Oh, you wouldn't make the deal, but I would think
they're going to get a first-round pick for a guy who's done nothing.
I wouldn't make the deal.
You would not make the deal.
No, I'm not trading Sam Bradford unless I get a
God bless the most stubborn man in the world. He's taking my championship.
Yeah.
He's taking my belt.
If you were going to trade him, I would want a one for him.
Really?
He is a good young
quarterback. I would want one for him.
Yeah.
You ain't getting one
for him. What about a second this year and a second next year?
I might consider it because I obviously have the opportunity to select my new quarterback, either 2 or 13. I would consider it. If I've fallen out in love with him and I'm Jeff Fisher and I don't want him, blah, blah, blah. Although Jeff Fisher doesn't exactly know quarterbacks.
In terms of just draft picks, what's the most you would give to get Clowney? To get that first, well, you know, to be able to get... Have a chance at Clowney.
I'd give up
two ones.
You would give up two ones.
This year's one and next year's one. And that's not enough.
What about this year's one, next year's one, and the third round pick from this year?
Oh, yeah, I would do that.
You would do
that? Because that, to me, is not that much.
What do you want
to do? I'm all in on the two ones. The third is a little bit irrelevant.
What do you want
to
do?
He wants to give up.
He's doing it again. He's tweeting, and he's not listening.
What's the most you would be willing to...
A man never tweets except for the two-hour span when he's on this radio show.
In terms of picks, what's the most you'd be willing to give up to get Clowney?
Oh, okay.
I would give up.
Now he doesn't even care.
Right. he won the explanation and he lost interest.
No, I didn't not care. I thought we were still talking about the quarterbacks. I thought you were still trying to get a first round pick for a guy
who's
done nothing.
We're talking trades. You know, who could trade?
This year's one and next year's one.
And then I'll throw in their stupid
and then
three
throw in a mid round pick because I don't care about those.
That's assuming I'm all in on Clowney as Lawrence Taylor.
You'd have to be.
I wouldn't give up. I'm not that all in on Clowney.
If you were, that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
If you think
I'd
he's
be trading much less Taylor,
once in a generation type player, then what's the most you'd be willing to give up?
Then that. I would do that.
Two ones and a mid. Sure. Two ones and a three, yeah. I would have done that for Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Not for Clowney. And I know it's easy to say that with hindsight and seeing what Andrew Luck has done so far in 2 years.
But I'm not as convinced
in
2 years you might say it about Clowney.
That's why I said. It's easy to say with hindsight.
So is there any guy any of you feel is a can't-miss, once-in-a-generation player other than Clowney? There isn't really.
No. I don't think of guys like that. No. Mm-hmm. Well, I agree. But I thought like that on Luck. I thought Luck was a really, really sick
I still
bet.
Think Clowney.
I thought that way about Luck.
Yeah, well,
I still think other than Clowney.
Okay, other than that, I really like Jake Matthews, but not generational as a tackle.
There's a lot of good players.
Mike Evans, I think, has a real high upside.
Nobody that could be willing to break the draft pick bank for.
No. Clowney's the only option for me.
Yeah.
He would be the only one.
Okay.
And I'd be scared to do that one.
What would you do for Clowney?
I would do the two ones and the three.
No way.
Wait, right now?
Yeah.
For the Patriots, you mean? Like, legitimately, would I make this trade?
I'm not talking about for the Patriots, because you know the Patriots wouldn't.
I would do it.
I would do it because
you're talking 29 this year. You hope to be good again in 2014, so next year's pick's going to be low.
Sure. And it's not even really 29, because he's going to trade it for 63 and 71.
So
I'm really trading 63, 71, and next year's one.
It could be low, Fred, unless we develop the lottery system you were talking about, and then they win the Super Bowl and get the first round, pick.
So you would give two ones and a three for Clowney?
I would. Yes, I would.
I might. I'd be a little scared.
I'm a lot scared.
But I can move Chandler Jones to the other side. Yankovic is a domino effect.
Yes. Now you're thinking.
I'd do it. All in. My defense is going to be dominant this year. I'm going all in.
You got pass rusher. You got your secondary
rookie of the year. I think if you're Bill O'Brien and the phone rings and it's Bill Belichick, do you make that deal?
Sure. Get a couple of extra picks. Now you can.
You've lost your first overall now.
I would.
Right. Yeah, but still.
I added a one.
You can do what you want.
I have 29 and 33. Right. I have two ones next year.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people think that they need more than I think we think they need.
Wait a minute. I'm confused. Is your two ones swapping? Is one of them the swap?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Then I would do
that. Not giving up three ones.
Yeah.
I would do that. So, that to me is not one. I know everybody counts it as one. I'm the only one who doesn't. That's why I confuse myself. When you switch places,
you know,
I don't count that as
you're the only one who dot, dot, dots a lot of things.
I don't think Bill O'Brien
I don't think switching picks is because you traded a one.
First overall to the 29th this year, and then you're getting a one next year. So really.
But you have the 29, and then you have the 33, right?
They have the 33.
So you can package. Once you get the 29, now you have the 33. If you want to move back up and do something else, you could do that.
I might ask for a second round this year as well.
Okay. You can ask for whatever you want. Now you get down to the nitty-gritty. And that's what we were talking about earlier. Buyers
market,
sellers market.
See, I would want to dump some of those, like, the what do we have, 2 fours, 2 sixes. I would want to get rid of some of that excess baggage.
I'm Bill O'Brien. I don't want your garbage.
No, but you can use that.
I don't want your garbage.
You can use that to move up.
It's a deep draft
somewhere else.
If I was Bill O'Brien, I'd say, all right, Bill, I'll take your one. I also want your second this year as well as your first next year.
Okay.
Your first and your second next year?
Yeah. No. I want your first and second this year.
Yeah.
I want your first next year.
I would try to talk
him into it. Now I'd be more willing to do it because now I'm getting three picks for it.
Yeah.
not one, not only, you know, like to me that swapping of the picks, I was thinking an additional first round pick. Right. So two first rounders and a mid round.
Yeah.
If it's just the swapping of a pick, it's only to me one first rounder and then a mid round.
I would do it if I was the Patriots. I don't know if I'd do it if I'm Bill O'Brien, but I would do that if I was the Patriots.
I would do your scenario if I were Bill O'Brien too.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would. There's much ado about nothing, but.
Well, yeah, well, obviously.
Now the next question is, does Bill O'Brien take Clowney? I mean, I don't know. I think he should. Can you imagine Clowney and Watt on the same
line? It's devastating. Well, yeah, it'd be devastating. So
now, how would they play?
I wonder how they're going to play.
People say the owner might be a little gun shy because they took Mario Williams, you know, back then, and he didn't really pan out. And do you take another defensive end with the first overall pick?
I think most people think Mario Williams
panned out.
Well,
I do
as a franchise player.
Yeah,
which is what
he was given $100 million to leave. Like,
I think he panned out.
You think he did?
He did all right. He wasn't Lawrence Taylor. He wasn't the once in a generational player.
Was he a first overall pick player?
He was not Lawrence Taylor.
He wasn't a bust.
Pretty close.
No, he wasn't a bust at all.
I have to go back and look at that draft to accurately answer that question, but he was well worth a high first round pick. I don't know if to say that he was the best player in that draft. I don't know if I could say that.
No, but at the end of his first rookie contract, he was considered the best free agent available.
And by the way, he got the contract that everybody always says all the guys are going to get, and very few of them get. Mm. He got it. Mm. Now, you could say that he got a bad contract by Buffalo.
But that doesn't matter.
He's a good player.
He was really good enough to be given that bad contract.
Okay.
Now, I think he has some motivational issues at times, which kind of gives you the comparison to Clowney. That's the knock on Clowney, is that he didn't play hard all the time. But the ability certainly.
But where does he play?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is he an outside linebacker?
Well, that's the thing. He and Watt are kind of around the same area, right?
Yeah, they're kind of right defensive ends.
Yeah.
So move him around.
No, I know you can move him around, and I'm sure Romeo could find a way to get it done. But it's not perfect where there's a hole and there's a fit, and it's just, you know, lay it up.
But you're adding talent to talent.
Sure. Oh, great talent.
Yeah. Yes.
You could argue you could have two of the most dangerous players in football on the same line. A lot of people last year, you know, the geeks, the Pro Football Focus types, think Watt had a better year than he had a year before when he was the defensive player of the year. Like his numbers are better, you know, run stuffs and
the
metrics.
We saw Matt Patricia use that three defensive end look where he had Chandler Jones move in as a quote-unquote defensive tackle last year. If both of these guys in the Texan scenario are right-side guys, put them next to each other on the right side.
I'm sure Romeo would make it work.
He's done it before.
I mean, think of what Romeo used to do here with Vrabel and Colvin and McGinnis and moving guys around and Seymour. And he's a relatively creative mind and three, you know, he'd get it done.
Yeah.
It's a limited concern, but, well, plus the other thing is you got Watt coming up for a contract. Now you got money concerns and how you doing that and what are you doing? Investing, blah, blah, blah.
Because you're thinking 2 years down the road.
Right. It's really a 2 year window when you draft.
Is always something to keep in mind when you look at the draft. It's more of a 2 year peak.
Now the other development I heard was that Kansas City is having trouble with Alex Smith in their negotiations. So they might now be in the market for a quarterback.
Really? I saw that. So another intriguing layer to the quarterback position.
What kind of trouble? Like
the talks have kind of stalled. So now, I mean, they might want that info out there to kind of put pressure on Smith's agent. But, I mean, really, what is Smith that good that you're that worried?
No.
I mean,
no, but you gave up a couple twos to get him, and he led you to a good season. And I mean, there is certainly some leverage and some continuity on his side.
That's the big thing is you made a move to get him, and it worked. You know, if you're Kansas City, you were 2-14. You made this move, and we became 11-5. And now to all of a sudden have that washed away because of some off-field crap.
Now, I would be concerned if I were a Chiefs fan because it smells a little Matt Cassidy to me. We traded for him. Mm. We gave him a big contract. He was good around a good team, and they won, and then the bottom fell out. I'd be worried that I'm going down the bottom fell out road, and we're about to give him a big deal and before the bottom falls out.
The only thing I would say is I think that Alex Smith had more to do with them winning than Matt Cassel did the year that they did.
But he's also not as good as, what were they, 13-3 or whatever the hell their record was, 12-4 or whatever.
Who, Cassel?
No, the last year.
11-5. But I also would look at the playoff game that Smith played as opposed to the playoff game that Cassel played and be more. I think Alex Smith is a little bit underrated. He's not a guy I don't think that you can necessarily win it all with, although, you know, the way things are going.
He played pretty well in their playoff game.
He played out of his mind in the playoff game. And he's done that before. He did it with San Francisco, too. Mm-hmm. He showed that he can be the quote-unquote game manager that does more than his share when the money's on the line. He certainly played a fantastic game against New Orleans that day in the playoff game and winning that shootout. He's a pretty good player. He's not great. I don't think that he can be the guy, you know, the centerpiece of your team that you're going to go all the way with. But if you have the team that Andy's describing and, you know, Jamaal Charles is healthy and your defense is better, I think you can win with him. And I wouldn't just want to cavalierly let him go.
When it comes to the Manziel front, the team most associated with him so far, I think, has been the Browns. I guess the owner, Haslam, loves him, just like maybe the Cowboys do. What do you think? Do you buy any?
There was a report yesterday that said that he will not get past four. If he's available at four, the Browns will take him. Now, I don't know if that's true.
Buying it?
That certainly doesn't fall in line with Rich Pettin's de-emphasizing the quarterback.
Yeah.
Mike.
Who's Rich?
I don't know.
Pettibone?
Yeah, you're going way back. So, am I buying that they're interested?
That they'll take him at four.
That they're taking him at four if he's available.
So soon after the Whedon debacle?
You got Hoyer. Hoyer thinks he's going to start. Here's the problem I have with taking a guy like Manziel. Mm. You have to be all in. I mean, you can't be like, oh, we're going to have an offense that Brian Hoyer is going to run. And when we think Manziel ready, we're just going to plop him in. I think you got to have a different offense for Manziel, right?
No, I'm not so sure about that. I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
No. What do you want to do?
He's not an option quarterback.
No, he's not an option quarterback. He's not Tim Tebow. He has things that you can take advantage of that if you don't, you're take Manziel then?
But most of what he does is unseen.
He's a scrambler.
Ben Roethlisberger scrambler, which means the scrambling comes after the as-designed play breaks down.
Mm. Yeah.
So the play is not necessarily designed for him to run.
But is he a pocket passer?
Well, that's what he's going to make his career at.
He's going to try to be.
If he can't throw from the pocket, you don't want to
take him. Is Ben Roethlisberger a pocket passer?
Yes.
Well, then Johnny Manziel's a pocket passer.
Yeah.
Because Ben Roethlisberger, to me, makes a lot of his plays outside the pocket.
He extends plays.
They're the same guy, just size difference.
He does. Yeah. And
Roethlisberger's huge.
Doesn't that size make a big difference?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes, it does.
Yeah,
but, there's also a speed difference.
Right.
And that makes a difference in the NFL, too.
He's a lot faster than Roethlisberger. Yeah.
But I think quicker. My point was, offensively, I think Ben Roethlisberger runs an offense. A traditional, he could come here and run Tom Brady's offense.
Yeah.
The difference is, when it breaks down, then everything hits the fan, and it's a bigger deal for receivers and backs and scrambling, coming back to the quarterback, all these stupid cliche things. It's not a Tim Tebow, Peyton Manning difference where it's two different offenses and we have to tailor our offense to Johnny Manziel.
I don't think Manziel is like that. I think
Manziel will run
different.
Whatever. I don't even know who their offensive coordinator is, but he'll run their offense.
Do you think he'll be successful in the NFL?
They have different coordinators every 5 minutes.
Do you think Johnny Manziel will be successful
long
in the
term,
NFL?
Long term, I don't.
You don't think so?
Not long term.
I have my doubts.
No. I think he will.
You think he will?
Yeah.
Define success.
Winning.
Yeah, I mean, Russell Wilson, that's success.
Oh, wow. Well,
I don't think he has to win a Super Bowl to have success.
No, but I mean, like, that's...
Certainly
that's
not in Cleveland.
No, but that's an example of a guy who a lot of people had question marks about, but he proved... And he, you know, even if
what
he
if
didn't,
he does Andy
even
Dalton,
if he didn't win the Super Bowl,
I think
he's competing.
I think you would say Russell Wilson was
success.
Success.
I think that's success.
In the NFL.
I would agree, especially in Cleveland.
Andy Dalton, is that what you said?
Yeah, I think that's success.
Getting although Andy Dalton's about running out of people are wondering whether he is a success.
People are wondering if he can get them to the next level.
I'm not wondering. He can't.
I don't think he can.
But is he a success?
Yeah.
But is it the same barometer for a second round pick as opposed to a top five pick?
No, well, there'll be more scrutiny
Andy
on
second round.
There'll be
pick.
More
right.
scrutiny on Manziel if he played the same. Yeah. I agree.
Let's put it this way.
Expectations.
There's a lot of reasons
the reason they can't take the next step. I think he's a bust.
Let's put it this way. There's a lot of reasons why a team doesn't win a Super Bowl every year. But to me, success can't be, well, it's because of the quarterback. The reasons why we didn't win a Super Bowl every year can't be because of my quarterback, otherwise the quarterback's not a success.
If he has a starting NFL career,
well, the reason why the Seahawks won the Super Bowl certainly wasn't their quarterback.
I'm not saying it was. But
so he's a success, but the other guy isn't?
Well, I'm saying if the reason why we can never win a Super Bowl because of our quarterback, then he's not successful.
See, I think it varies on the position.
But I'm not
going to
blame
him
if they don't.
If the Browns can't take that last step and become an elite team and Manziel's the problem, then he was not a success.
Right. Is Tony Romo a success?
Right. Yes.
You can't win a Super Bowl with him because of him.
You think so?
Yes.
No, I think that they
watch could've... a game that's important and watch how he plays.
I told
in
you
it.
To watch a game.
He's made...
that's important. That's important. No.
He went all Peter Gammons on.
No.
Watch the games, Fred.
What he does, he takes yes, the actual words.
Right.
You know,
I didn't take it that way.
Well, I know you didn't, Fred, because you're a smart man.
No,
that's why you're the head honcho.
Yeah, but Paul, don't forget, he offered to buy all the fans lunch.
You know what he did? You know what he did today?
That's exactly what you do.
Andy and I had to go upstairs to one of the suites to do a thing for Patriots today. So we're coming back down real quick, right? And we end up, I hit the wrong button on the elevator, so we went all the way down to field level. So we pick up a guy, a visitor.
Yeah.
Okay? We pick up a guy. Right? So the poor guy doesn't know where he's going. And he's like, he goes, E2. I go, oh, you came in the right place. And he's like, I don't know. He goes, so I push A now. And he goes, I don't even know where I'm supposed to go. I go, this is the only place you can go. And I had a big smile on my face. And then I said, right here is reception. They can take care of you.
No, you said, right here, check in.
I said, no. I said, right here is where you check in. So we get off. He goes, oh, look at Paul throwing his weight around. You know, this is the only place you can go. This is the only place you can go. No, check right in here. Pulling his brakes.
This is the only place you can go and check in.
Meanwhile, Andy's standing in the corner hoping the guy won't look at him.
Well, that's exactly.
No, I actually was saying, close the door.
He was behind the imaginary red velvet rope.
Right.
But the actual words that he said that I said were what I said.
Right.
Not in any of the tone that he just used.
I said them like Chris Ferreira would say them.
Exactly.
Via
like
email.
They would come across in an email.
I don't have any idea when
in
the show
in a tersely
was last
worded
year.
Email.
So what were we talking about? No, back to Tony Romo.
I just think it's hard.
It's
a subjective thing,
really
is my
is.
Point. Like you say, the first question that you said, it's a good one. How would you define success for Johnny Manziel? I think you might think one thing. Andy might think another.
Because I relate.
Eric will automatically think he sucks because he's already closed the book on
Manziel. No. Don't say that. If Manziel has, like, let's say a 10, 12-year NFL career, and he's a starter most of that time, and he leads the Browns to the playoffs, but like you said, it's not his fault.
Leads?
Yes. Yeah, like let's say,
but like to go back to our
he's
previous.
Part of winning.
If Matt
he's
Castle
part of winning, right.
led the Chiefs to the playoffs, did he lead
for 10
the
to 12 years?
If he yes, for that.
Oh,
not
every
once.
Year.
Well, not yeah, every not year, well, but like
they're a perennial playoff team.
Yes,
still for you
they're
know.
They're a contender every year.
Yeah,
they don't. Maybe they miss the playoffs
you know,
once or twice, but they're
perennially
they're
has the Steelers
exactly.
in playoff contention. They don't make it every year.
Exactly,
right.
They didn't
he's
make
got
it
a
last
rings.
Year. No, I know that. Yes, but over the top. I'm talking about on a 10-year span. Maybe you make the playoffs 6 or 7 times. Now, the Patriots are different. They make it all 10. No one does that like the Patriots do.
Different for a couple more years. It's a different topic for a different show.
He plays 12 years, and they make the playoffs 8 times.
That's a success.
And they go deep into the playoffs. That's a success.
Now,
yeah, that's a
you,
success.
But you might look at it because I think.
But I do have a different barometer.
I think if Andy Dalton stays in Cincinnati for 12 years, he's going to make the playoffs 8 or 9 times, and you might not look at
well,
it, that he's.
It's
a success,
all relative to me. Tony Romo was a success, but then he got a $100 million contract. He's no longer a success. My investment has a relation to what I deem success.
Well, plus,
as an undrafted rookie, that you lead me to the playoffs or you have me on the brink of winning, success.
Right.
Plus, I would call him a success if he consistently made the playoffs.
No. But
he doesn't.
See, that's you're muddying the issue. Now you're taking the exact success. Because I think competing in the NFL is hard. And, you know, vying for a division title on the last day of every season, okay, you can talk about what success is, whether that's Dallas, Cleveland, Cincinnati, New England, all. But to me, if Manziel takes the team to the playoffs ho-hum and is the reason they can't take the next step, because everybody says Cleveland has a pretty good young defense. You know, they have Gordon, they have Cameron, they have a few weapons. If he's the reason they can't continue, to me, I judge him differently than second-round pick Andy Dalton.
That's
as top four pick Johnny Manziel. You're supposed to be the reason I can win, not the reason
that's
I'm not
That's why
winning.
I said it's going to be up to the individual. I think it's a subjective thing. You might look at it that way, and that's not wrong.
It's kind of like my Willie McGinnis thing.
Also,
was he a bust as what he was? I think he was kind of a bust. I don't think he was ever the elite Lawrence Taylor super player that
he had the same exact career, and he was a late second-round pick.
Good, solid career.
If he goes to the playoffs and he puts up games like Alex Smith did against the Colts, where you know he's scoring mid-40s, you know, it's not his fault that the defense is giving up 50.
But
that's not
than
his
Andy
fault.
Dalton throwing pick sixes and pooping himself.
Andy Dalton was the reason why they lost to San Diego.
Exactly right.
He was the reason they lost to San Diego.
Right. So if Manziel is leading teams to the playoffs and then pulling a Romo or a
and Romo's the reason why they lose the last game of the year every year
correct.
To try to go
for Dalton. That's different than if he pulls up.
I look
an
at
Alex
Romo
Smith.
And he does so many things during the season to get them to that point. I just think that
I just
so
think
much,
it's a really talented team. I don't think that he's carrying the team on his back.
I think there's a lot of talent, but I don't know if it's a good team.
I think the reason it's not a good team is the quarterback.
It's not the best 53, Paul. It's the right 53.
I know.
Well,
thanks,
there
Scott.
Is some truth to that, right?
Thanks, Scott.
You can mock it all you want, but there is truth to that. You know, it's not a, it's just not a collection.
As long as
names.
I have a good quarterback and a decent coach.
Yeah, you know, and I
and
know
you can question
there's
both.
A lot of people in Dallas that agree with Paul that the reason why they haven't got over the hump is Tony Romo.
And a lot of people believe the reason is the coaching.
Yeah,
that Jerry Jones is married to Garrett, and that's the problem.
The bigger problem in Dallas to me is Garrett than Romo. That I agree with Fred.
Well, I think it's Jerry Jones.
See, I don't.
Well, see,
he's
I do.
He's the one that picks those coaches that have to be yes men.
Jerry Jones, the owner, is a problem. Jerry Jones, the GM, may not be a problem.
It's not a problem. Mm.
But Jerry Jones, the owner, who one year brings in Callahan and the next year brings in and takes the play calling from this guy and gives it to this guy and says, we're going to run while the head coach is saying we're going to pass.
Yeah.
That is the problem.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, if you want to say.
But everybody likes to say he sucks as a GM. He does not suck as a GM.
Well, he sucks as an overseer of the team.
Now, if you want to say that he's married to Jason
President
Garrett.
President of football operations.
Yes,
he sucks.
Yes.
That the fact that he's married to Garrett, if you want to put that on Jones, I can buy that. That's a problem for Jerry Jones.
What are we talking?
Because he didn't want Parcells, but he wanted this guy, this puppet that he could manipulate.
Yeah. How did we get so off track and like we're breaking
Johnny
down?
Manziel? We're asking what would be Johnny Manziel a success?
He did
think
visit the Patriots.
Well, my
earlier,
original
so
question,
okay, we can tie it into
do you
the
think
Patriots.
He'll be successful? In
and I actually think he is going to be. I don't think he's going to rip it up.
You don't.
I don't.
I don't think he's going to be a superstar because I think he's too smart.
Not according to my criteria.
Now, okay, let's. I know a lot of people make this comparison. It's a little cliche, but was Doug Flutie a success in the NFL?
God, no.
No. And if Johnny Manziel can only be like Doug Flutie and have a couple of flashes of
holy
then bust central, that's not a success.
I agree.
No.
I don't think Flutie was a success.
He was
in the
a success
NFL.
In Canada.
Yeah.
He was a huge success in Canada.
He had all the records.
Right.
Yeah. But a Grey Cup.
I mean, the fact that 225
will get him a cup of coffee.
You can almost argue that the fact that he did what he did early in his career in the NFL, then came back after all those years and was able to play and did what he did. You can almost say he had a successful.
I think what Doug Flutie did is he proved he could play quarterback in the NFL, but he was never really a successful quarterback.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. I was one of the idiots in the stands yelling for Flutie.
I was.
he won some games, but I don't think overall he was any good. I really don't. He had a decent record, but I don't think
he got screwed by the Bills in the playoffs.
No question. That year, no question, he should not have lost his job.
Yeah. So
he had a good regular season. They sat him out the last game, and then they benched him in the playoffs, and that wasn't right.
Bigger issue. Why is Tom Brady riding a hot air balloon to the Kentucky Derby?
He what? This is the first I've
Has
heard.
He not seen, you know, what happened to Dante Stallworth?
More or less dangerous than pickup
wires.
Very similar.
Less.
You don't think that's
Much
more
less.
Dangerous?
I don't know. I think both are very stupid.
Come on.
That is unique, though. You know, I've seen people come in on helicopters. I came in on a hot air balloon. That's different, you know?
I never saw anybody get electrocuted playing pickup basketball.
Well, I never saw anybody tear an ACL in a
balloon. How many times do you hear about people getting electrocuted in a hot air balloon?
I have heard that.
Because they're this big, you can't get moving enough.
They get electrocuted.
Yeah, but how often does that happen?
It happened like 3 weeks ago.
What?
It happened to an NFL player. So the
happened to a Brady teammate, multi-time teammate.
I know that, but that was the first time I'd ever heard of that.
It happens more frequent than you think.
I don't hear about it, though.
I don't either.
Because these things start falling, and you have no control because something's going wrong, and... There's wires everywhere.
Plus, where did he take it from?
What?
Where did he take it?
The ground to the ground.
Is that real?
Thanks.
That picture with him, he has like a...
Now, he changed it a little bit at the Met last night.
Well, he looked normal.
But it was a faux hawk. It was the soccer player.
But that was more than a faux hawk.
Greased up.
That was Jimmy Neutron. That was more than a faux hawk.
That was weird looking. And it was like...
But that was real? It wasn't photoshopped or anything?
No, that was real.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's... I don't know what the hell.
How can he be so good?
Yeah, does he think about that stuff? Like, oh, today I'm going to do this.
He had red pants on, too, did he not?
But that's what you do. Don't you dress like a moron when you go to those? Like the hats with the women? And
why do you have to dress like a moron?
Don't ask me. I don't want to go. I think it's the most overrated thing in history. I don't know. Do they?
Yeah, like Aaron Rodgers was with him. He had just a regular shirt and tie with a jacket.
Or maybe he doesn't want to dress like a moron.
He can't be too flamboyant. Then questions start arising. Brady's got that, you know, beard.
All right, web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0098.
Tom in the next room over there.
He takes it to such a
I know, it really does.
And did you see Welker's big winnings, handing out money, $100 bills, y'all?
He had a stack of cash, man.
He won.
Yeah, no. Imagine just walking by a guy who won like that. He's just handing off.
And I like it for him because he's actually a horse guy. He owns a horse. He clearly is somewhat interested in the field.
Me and Fred were talking about
that. He's not a fraud. He's not a Johnny come lately. He's invested in the industry of horses.
Will Fork is invested too?
I think Will Fork's invested in
a horse. I think he has one of those carriages. The what does it call it? The little carriage. Yeah, what are those?
He owns one of those, or he rides in one?
No, he owns one.
I was going to say, poor horse.
Trotters and Pacers, but I thought he invested in a thoroughbred.
Did he?
I'll give him the credit too, then, because he's not just—he's into it.
Right.
He's not just there to be seen.
Not Brady come lately.
I just was wondering.
Strippers, let us know what.
Fred and I were talking about it, like all the different things that you can do. I mean, you're obscenely wealthy, and you have all these obscenely wealthy.
Oh,
friends.
I have no interest.
Like. The Kentucky Derby.
People,
like, how did that become
mint
a thing?
Juleps, ugly hats,
how did that become
dressing
a thing?
Up, and it's all stupid.
I mean, if I'm betting on that, I'd much rather be in a sports book in Vegas.
Yeah, just go to Vegas for the weekend if you want to be.
Right.
You know, I'd rather not, like,
it's
dress
a, it's
up.
A, it's and, one of those see and be seen events. That's my point.
Like, there's so many more.
Phony frauds.
Right.
If you wanted to do one of those things, there's so many more things that seem to me to be, like, much cooler than that.
Yeah, no interest.
All right, but we got a lot of audience participation requests going on here, so
because you
probably open it up.
Started a terrible line of thought.
We were all talking.
Why?
Was,
just because you
terrible.
Didn't like it doesn't make it terrible.
Because I knew people wouldn't like it. It's the day before the draft. We're supposed to be talking about who the Patriots are going to take.
I thought Fred's question was a good one.
We're talking about the draft.
If we were in Dallas, it would have been great.
We're talking about a polarizing guy in Johnny Manziel and whether or not you think he'll be successful.
The Patriots. I think that
he also asked if you would trade up for Clowney.
Right.
That was fine. That wasn't a terrible.
That was okay.
Thank you, Andy. That was
Johnny Manziel's career, which won't be in New England. Who gives a rat's ass? We're on the pre-draft show.
The big head
as opposed
seal
to Clowney,
of approval.
Who's
and
gonna
you
be
promise
lining
this
up
is our second best show of the year, and already it's one of our worst
it's
of the year.
It's a great show. It's a great show. Shut
following up.
Up
what was a great show last week, according to listeners.
Fred, are you already tired of him? Is he tiring?
Oh, he's tiring. There's been some requests to make that some sort of a drop or something. What's tiring? You!
All right, let's go to the phones.
You sounded like Michelle Tenenbaum.
And whoever this is on the phone, please do not say about Johnny Manziel, because we're not going to talk about it.
Why?
Because
Andy's decided we're not talking about it. You didn't know? Fred, I got your back.
Works for Felger.
Felger
tells people
topic.
What they can and can't not be interested in.
Let's go to
if you're on a landline, you can talk about anything you want.
Let's go to Andrew.
Or your name's Mike in Attleboro.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, what's going on?
Yo.
You excited?
Yeah. I'm a little off topic here, but I wanted to talk about Will Smith, the former defensive end.
That is not off topic. That is actually very much on topic because he signed with the Patriots yesterday. Fred was the one who was off topic.
We haven't mentioned yet on the show.
What do you want to say about Will Smith?
You know what? I'm not really sold on the guy, to be honest. I feel like, you know, he's not an elite pass rusher.
Nope.
I feel like the reason why, 2012 season, he had a little bit of success was Rob Ryan. You know, that defense, the way they stir up their defense, like the blitzes and stuff. I mean, I know that we have a better secondary now, so maybe Bill can get something going for the guy. But they said he had an ACL injury. I just want to know what your take is on that.
He missed last year with an ACL. We are the wayward home for ACL patients. And I agree with you 100%. He's not an elite, off-the-edge, speed rusher, going to dominate a game kind of guy. But he's a depth guy. He might be an interior rusher at this point in his career. You know, Eric talked about that. Maybe it's Chandler Jones, Ninkovich with Will Smith on the inside. They could do different things.
He could get cut, and he could be your number three pass rusher.
Yeah.
But I like the signing. And, you know, I will say, you know, to Andrew's point, like, you know, if you tore your ACL, if you're coming off a major injury and you were once a first round pick and you got cut by your team, so there's no compensatory pick.
Sure.
This is the place for you.
Right.
And I know that can be frustrating sometimes because it seems like you're taking everybody's trash all the time as opposed to going after somebody more into in the prime of their career. But this is a move to me that there is no downside for. If he comes in and works out, you might have a situational pass rusher. I think he'd be better than Andre Carter at this stage of his career.
Marginally. I'm looking for more. I'm looking for an injection of youth and excitement off the edge.
If this is all they're going to do, and I'll say the same thing, Andy, you and I talked about Dustin Keller on the podcast last week.
Keller at large.
If that's all they're going to do, then I'm not happy with it. If they're going to go out and draft somebody in the first two, three rounds that can come in as a younger, pass rushing, edge kind of guy, then I like Will Smith to be part of that mix. And if he has anything left, great. If not, you let him go.
Right. Same for me. Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
All right. See you, Andrew.
A lot of people emailing in. Do they think Do we think that the signing of Will Smith will in any way affect what they're going to do in the draft?
No, not one bit.
I don't think.
I would hope. I would hope not.
Nine,
but I do not know that answer for sure.
I do. Nine.
What do you think Will Smith has left in the tank compared to Andre Carter last year?
Well, that's a good question.
Probably more, but I need to see him.
Yeah.
I would need to see him too. The reports that we were talking about 4 or 5 weeks ago when he first visited, right? That's been a while since he visited.
Oh, yeah, it was
right?
A long time.
People were saying that he wasn't playing well before he got injured. And I think Rob Ryan got there last year,
yes.
Right? So he didn't have that big year with Rob Ryan.
He was
Ryan.
Still in Dallas. Right, Rob Ryan.
He most of his career in New Orleans. He never really played for Rob Ryan because he got hurt in the preseason.
No, he played.
And he was going to play outside linebacker.
Poop bum year in New Orleans.
Yeah, that was the worst defense of all time.
Now he does have
for a year. It got surpassed by Dallas.
He did get a little boon out of who the young guy helped him out, Cameron Jordan or Jordan Cameron, one of those.
Cameron
two.
Jordan,
the non-tight end.
Right.
Interesting. They were both at the Pro Bowl though last year.
Jordan Cameron had a huge year last year. He had like 80 catches.
He did. And they were both at the Pro Bowl. I was like, Jordan, Cameron.
What
Jordan.
Do you got, Eldridge? You're on the A-Stick of Hotline.
Hey, fellas. Like I said, entertaining as always. But y'all threw right on the Cowboys. Half my family Cowboys fans. They want to get rid of Romo, Garrett, and Jerry Jones.
Well, just so you know, they're never getting rid of Jerry Jones.
Probably going to be hard to get rid of the
There owner. Is a better chance that Patriots fans who want to get rid of Belichick can get rid of Belichick long before Jerry Jones. Because when you owners own, Fred, and players rent, right. Coaches also rent.
But mainly, they want Romo the hell out. Excuse my language. They want him out.
They want him out.
Potty mouth.
They want him out. But getting There's back no call for that. I wish they would trade him and get Clowney. Or Evans, matter of fact.
I knew Evans was your kind of guy.
I was
Eldridge. I almost wrote it in my notes when we posted it on the website.
I was thinking, was it going to be Watkins or Evans? I knew.
No, he likes the bigger receivers. He likes a little more size in his receivers.
A little size, a little speed.
Right? Oh, okay. Well, put your trade where your mouth is. What are you giving up? How much?
Should I give a first?
Now we got.
You apologize for hell, but then you don't apologize for sugar honey iced tea.
No, you mean tell me.
It's Antoine Smith.
She's going to be as good as this year's draft. So you will give your one up this year and a two next year to try to move up to get Clowney.
It's not going
to
happen.
No, I would get do
Multiple
that.
Ones are involved with that deal
yeah,
to go
I'd,
from
I'd
29
give that in
to
a second.
One.
You know what? I'd give that up for Mike Evans.
I'd give one next year too then.
I definitely wouldn't do that for Mike Evans.
You two would? Ones and a two?
A one and a two? Come on. No way. I'd give that up.
Oh, I would.
No way.
29 and a second-round pick
Absolutely.
For Mike Evans? Absolutely.
Oh, so are you only trading a second-round pick for Mike Evans?
Yeah. He never includes the one.
I know.
But it doesn't count. You're switching spots. That's not giving anything. I'm getting something for that.
No,
that
but
doesn't
you are
count.
Giving something.
I know what Paul's
it's
saying.
It's part of the overall package.
So you're trading a second round pick to go from 29 to 5.
Yes, the delta.
You think you can do that?
No, but I do.
I do it too.
What's he yelling at?
But if it's a one and a second round pick, now I wouldn't do it.
See, but you can't have your own lingo.
What about my one this year, my one next year, and my second this year?
For Evans?
For Evans.
Yeah,
no.
I wouldn't do that for Evans.
For Clowney, yes. What about for Mac?
I wouldn't do that for Mac.
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't either. Not for Mac.
How high would anyone trade up for my guy, Anthony Barr? Because it sounds like you're going to have to trade above 15 and 16.
26, 27.
Can't do it.
But,
although, unless you're McShay and Kuiper and you both have him at 29 and just pass on him.
I hear Pittsburgh's going to take him.
That's what I'm hearing. Because you know what? Kevin Colbert knows talent. He and I are on the same damn page.
That's why he's won so many
right,
playoff
thanks,
games the last couple of years.
It's because his cap guy's running it into the ground.
There's no cap.
Omar Epps or whatever his name is.
Dave, you know he's in Connecticut.
Khan. Genghis.
Hey, guys, how are we doing today?
Good.
I got a trade for you guys.
All right.
Bring it.
What do you think about the Patriots trading their first-round pick, maybe the second next year, for Ndamukong Suh from Detroit?
That's a lot to give up, I think, because you're going to have to pay him.
Ndamukong Suh, you think, all right, well, what about just a 29?
Well, wait a minute.
I would do that. I would do that, but he's not available.
Our first this year and our second next year?
Right.
Yeah, I would do that.
For Sue?
Yeah.
I might do that.
I would do it.
I wouldn't.
But he's not available.
Yeah, they said flat out they're not going to trade him.
Oh, okay.
Even with those rumors. But I wouldn't do that much. I would do a second round pick for him.
You do have to pay him, and that's part of the issue.
So you would give up a first round pick for Sam Bradford, but you wouldn't give up a first round pick for Ndamukong Suh.
I didn't say I would give up a first-round pick for Sam Bradford. I said I would expect a first-round pick for Sam Bradford. Two different things, Paul. Words have meaning.
Meaning it never will get done.
I wouldn't eliminate that.
I don't think any team.
You never know what Rick Spielman's going
to
do.
I absolutely would take Ndamukong Suh to answer Dave's question.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, have a happy draft day, and hopefully we'll get some Christmas presents.
Okay.
I hear you, bro.
Let's go to Chris with a T-I-A-N. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. Great show last week. You got to make two drops. One, Eric Athanimically.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
The pompous one over here making words up.
Yeah, that was brilliant. And then Fred, we just want to know if you've checked the oil lately. it was great. It was great. Eric, you stood your ground. I loved how you gave it back. Way to go. What you got to do against these bullies.
Oh, yeah.
Against these bullies.
Oh,
there was a little LaDainian Tomlinson there. I think he dropped. Oh, no. Who was that?
Who?
Oh, so there was the other guy, the defensive end. Dropped before our eyes. They dropped. Remember Rex Ryan going
out?
Vernon Golston. And they're similar, and that was the last time we ever heard from you.
Don't call them bullies, because Andy and I stayed out of that.
Yeah, that was
just
all Fred.
I wasn't being a bully. I was just inquiring.
I wanted on the record that was all Fred, in case this ever comes up in a HR meeting.
HR meeting.
HR. Okay, yeah, it was all Fred. quick question about the draft. How important are the quarterbacks to this draft? Say Houston trades that first pick, and say Clowney isn't taken, and the ripple effect, because a lot of people are talking about now St. Louis potentially drafting Manziel, and of course that's one of the million things you've heard over the past couple of weeks. But how important is it to the sort of where the quarterbacks go? I mean, do you see a run on quarterbacks in like the first?
See, that's the thing. You know, I've seen mocks where Manziel's the only quarterback taken in the first, and then the run happens in the second. Either way, I think it helps the Patriots.
If they all get taken in the top eight.
No.
Well, see, on some level, that helps them because it pushes talent down. But on the other level, it helps them if those guys are available to trade at 29. So it depends on what your theory is.
I think that they would be thrilled if one or two of those top three quarterbacks was available in the 20s. I think it makes that pick very valuable.
See, I think the only way
they probably would. I'd be happier if Anthony Barr was suddenly available because he slipped down.
But I think the only way somebody trades into the Texans spot is to get Clowney, because I don't think any team's willing to trade up to number one overall to get one of these quarterbacks.
No, they won't. They're not that stupid.
Yeah.
You're putting your future on the line. In a draft where no one can decide who the good quarterbacks are, you're giving up something to go get one that you're not sure of.
I feel like,
and by the way, you don't know where he was going to go.
See, that's where the Texans say, you know what? We're not sold on Clowney. We're willing to move out, and somebody else is sold on Clowney.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you on that. And I feel like every time you look at one of these guys' projections, quarterback rankings, different guy has a different guy number one. Phil Simms yesterday, Derek Carr is the guy that made him
feel been a late riser.
He's been the guy that's making him feel the safest. So it seems like every single guy has a different opinion. So if you look at that,
AJ McCarron's safe.
No way that one of these guys is worthy of the number one pick.
My guy Mecklenburger just had a positive.
No. Make sure you report it properly.
It was diluted.
Okay. Don't say positive.
Well, it was a problem.
Diluted sample.
There was a flag on his sample that was diluted. Mecklenburger says it's because.
Mecklenburger!
He says, Mecklenburg says it's because, he's recovering from the ACL and he's been taking stuff and that dilutes his
pee. Well, he had cramping problems and his dietitian and therapist said he was drinking a gallon and a half of water and he was dealing with different things and it diluted the sample.
Right.
Very plausible.
Okay.
I like how we started that whole thing. He's dealing with the torn ACL, so he's taking things. Yeah, that's the way the Ravens come back in 3 months when they tear their Achilles.
I'd much rather have a diluted sample than a failed test.
Right, it shows he's thinking at least.
It shows he's doing what everybody else is doing.
Who's the guy that had the
the high test stuff?
The marijuana recently.
The guy from Miami.
Oh yeah,
Dink.
Right.
Searston.
Yeah. All right, I'll let you go. I know you got a lot of calls.
Apparently,
you have to get to work.
All right. Well, the Comrex is just stacked up. I heard that at the beginning of the show. Where'd that come from?
Well, that's what it's called in the industry. Comrex stack.
In this building, that's
Kevin,
what it's called.
Isn't it called the Comrex stack?
Yes, I see it. It says it right on it. I know that.
Yeah, it's not a nickname. You've dubbed it. The company that sold it told you what
they
call
it.
It says it right there.
Because
you acted like we like to call it the... No, we don't call it anything. They call it. We like to call that Toshiba laptop. No, industry standards and the company calls it Toshiba laptop.
I don't think anybody listening has any idea what you're talking about. That's my point.
Like if I say, hey, can you pass me a Kleenex? That's a brand name.
And Comrex is not Kleenex.
In the industry, it is.
We're not industry.
I was going to say,
say, you're not in the industry.
There's five people that know what you're talking about. The other 200,000 listening don't.
On the bright side, my notification that the show started was only 9 minutes late today.
Oh, we're getting close.
Not an hour.
That's so better. That's an improvement.
Why is that, Fred?
We're closing the gap.
Is that automatic? Is that Chris forgetting?
It's not Chris forgetting.
It's never Chris's fault.
It's not Chris's
fault. Except it's always his fault.
It's kind of like Brady in the playoffs. Chris never
You know who Chris loves? He loves all the players from FS.
Ferreira sucks. Merry Christmas.
F dot S dot?
Yes, F dot S dot.
Speaking of FS.
He loves the FS program.
Oh, yeah, FS.
All right,
Fred has no idea.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Forever, he's been listing a lot of players from Florida State as FS. It's FSU. Florida State is
that's
world. Great. No, they like to call it FSU, and he does FS, and he got very mad when I called him on it. You know, I'm not the only one who posts these. It could be somebody else. Mike might have done it. You know, there's a character limit, and I can't put characters in here. In some places, he has Floss State. And by the way, you could put FSU with no dots, and it would be actually less characters than F dot S dot.
Right. What is
these are the things that swim around in that giant head of his.
It's like Penn State, right? What do you do for Penn State?
PSU.
PSU.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Penn I would State. Do Penn State, but if you can't
right.
fit it, you put
right.
PSU.
Now if it becomes a legitimate character concern. But right. the problem is he was adding an extra character to make it wrong.
Let's go to Sean in New Hampshire. Hey, Sean.
Wrong. Who does
hey
it wrong?
Long time.
Andy.
It's been a long time since I called in. Last time I called in was about the draft. It was about the draft here. I just want to say a quick shout out real quick to Christian with TIAN. PFW Elite.
Okay.
Preamble to J.
Preamble to J, man. Alvin in Texas, you know how he rolls.
Oh, we do. We know what he rolls. He's got diluted samples, too.
Hey, man, before you guys rip me, I just want to say I had an idea about a Clowney trade. It came to me last night. It's just a thought. It was kind of similar to what...
Is foreskin coming in
a smoke-induced haze?
No. Listen, this is... Okay, before I say the trade, I'm just going to tell you my theory about why I was thinking this way, right? You look at Denver, you look at Seattle, right? In my mind, we're closer to where they're at on defense than we are on offense. And if we got an impact player like Clowney, we could sacrifice something on offense by what I was going to propose. So say somehow there's some magic that's working between them. Belichick and O'Brien, right? And we trade Mallett, Gronk, and our first and our next year's first for Clowney.
Well, that's
what
a lot.
What do you think about that?
That's a lot.
Two ones, a Gronk, and a Mallett?
No, I'm not giving up Gronk. So Gronk and a one for Mallett. For Clowney.
It goes the eight.
Because you're losing nothing with Mallett. And you're swapping spots for the other one, right? You go from 29 to one.
I'm not giving up Gronk. Sorry.
Yeah. I know. See, that's the thing. Nobody wants to even touch it. I know it's taboo, but think about what I said. The other day,
I did, and I'm telling you, I don't want to do it.
Sean, I remember what you said, and I wanted to address that a little bit.
Okay, go ahead, Paul.
I would say that the Patriots are very similar defensively to Denver, probably better. If everything, you know, if Revis and Browner work out, I think you're probably better defensively than Denver. I don't think you're even close to Seattle.
You're not.
No.
Defensively.
Right,
yeah. Now, offensively, you're better than Seattle.
Right. With Gronk.
But without Gronk.
Right.
Exactly.
Now you're not.
I'm saying, like Andy said, without Gronk, we're going nowhere.
So you just traded our go somewhere.
I agree with Andy on that. So I think those two teams that you used in Denver and Seattle are vastly different kinds of teams, and the Patriots stack up against them in vastly different ways.
Correct.
If you lose Gronk, now your offense is probably comparable to Seattle's. Probably a little better because I think Brady's better than Russell Wilson. But
exactly.
You know, your running game's not as
no,
good.
No, but we can
and you're not accustomed to winning games in that way. Seattle is.
Yeah.
Now, Denver, I think, defensively, if you added if Revis and Browner pan out, you're probably better than Denver defensively.
But right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You add Clowney, and you're superior.
Now I just can't score any points because I got rid of Gronk.
But I don't have Gronk, and right. I can't score the amount
of
points that I need.
If we do that and get Clowney, how close would we be to Seattle defensively?
I don't think you're there.
I mean, yeah. I think that would be a step in the right direction, but Clowney, you're so much weakened offensively.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even defensively, you're throwing it together, which is a dangerous game to always play,
certainly
as opposed to Seattle
that.
Has developed. They have developed young talent that they've then
That's
augmented
true.
With a veteran signing here, a veteran signing there.
When you think of
and
Seattle,
you have the coach who's being aggressive and has got the type of players he wants.
When you think of Seattle defensively, you think of Thomas, Chancellor, Sherman, Wagner.
You think of boom!
Those are all guys they just drafted within the last 5 years. That's different than getting Clowney, signing Revis, and signing Browner.
Yeah, I don't think you're in their league even with Clowney for this year. Now, if you re-sign Revis and you have Clowney moving forward, maybe now I feel like, oh, you've developed with Chandler Jones and Mayo and High. Maybe you've developed something. But we're talking about a possible one-year kind of bring it together with Browner and Revis and see what happens.
Not so I just don't want to pull the plug on Gronk yet, Sean. I guess is
me
the bottom
either.
Line.
Yeah, no way. No way.
I don't think really, that the trade is dumb.
I was like, am I really saying this? But I was like, man.
Yeah.
I'd just be afraid of what the impact, the ripple effect of the offense.
Don't worry.
Now, you could come back and you could counter and say, how many games is Gronk available for?
When you're sober again, you'll realize that that was not the right thing.
Oh, man, come on now.
All right.
All right, guys.
All right, thanks, Sean.
That's what we're looking for, though, Sean.
Sean, friggin' radio. I'll tell you that right now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's really
spread the word.
That's really what we're looking for.
Preamble to Jay.
I think we have our new... slogan, the best show on friggin' radio. There you go.
Except we're not.
Thanks, Sean. All right. No, it's not a bad trade. And I think
it's a terrible
trade. I would love to have more of these trades. Wouldn't you in the NFL?
Well, that's the whole one of the debates about this draft. Are there going to be more trades than normal, less trades than normal? Everybody's expecting more trades. There might end up being less trades.
Yep.
Who knows? But we'll be there to tell you all about it and react.
All right, we got a lot
5-hour energy pulsating through our veins.
I don't want to react to Gronk getting traded, though.
Oh, no, that would suck. You would see me cry.
I would?
Yep, you might.
Yeah,
I would not
like
that. Oh,
I think Andy could definitely cry if that would happen. Yeah.
That would be a sad day in this organization.
There aren't
many
guys that I think Andy has felt like he does about Gronk.
Mm. Well, he's good. He's nice. Oh, he's fun.
Yeah. He's terrific.
The only thing not to like is the injuries.
Right.
That's the only thing.
I'm not making fun of you, guy.
And the occasional...
Just saying.
Cast when he's DDTing his brother on the stage. That crossed a line to me.
You know, and having to get, permission from his daddy to come back and play might be something.
Didn't know James Andrews was his daddy.
Web radio, patriots.com. Steven writes in from Winchester, sort of surprised that Paul is on Jeremy Hill as his guy. Statutory rape arrest with a 14-year-old and an assault arrest for a bar fight while on probation. Not a real judgment guy. How does this make Paul's team?
Yeah, that's a great point. And stuff that I talked about today when we shot this for Patriots Today, huge character concerns. And probably for those reasons, the Patriots will not
be
interested.
I am out. On safeties, can you comment on Dez Southward, who visited with the Patriots? He's the exact same height and weight as Deone Buchanan, faster and quicker, according to the combine testing, and had 4 interceptions to Deone's 1 in 2013. Would he be a good pick in the 3rd or 4th if Buchanan goes in the early 2nd?
I don't know much about him. I got to look him up.
Dez Southward.
Southward. He's falling talent-wise.
While you're looking that up, Paul's favorite emailer, William Berry, writes in.
Bill!
First to the Star Wars religious guy, Fred, that's you. On Sunday, you were saying, may the 4th be with you. One thing the movies, even the bad ones, a.k.a. the prequels, are clear about is there must be a balance in the Force. So I'm glad your show is on the Sith. 6. Eric, when is the draft show schedule coming out? He wants to know.
Do we have confirmation on Saturday?
Yes.
Oh, I'm out. Paul's out on this guy, too.
Yeah.
Was medically excluded from the combine because of wrist and spine injuries.
That says Southward.
Spine injuries. I generally have a problem with spine injuries. That's even worse than just a plain back injury. They're targeting the spine. Why don't you tell me that is like fluid doesn't work in the spine? Short arms, average flexibility, excellent size, large hands. I don't know. Whatever.
To get back to the Jeremy Hill situation, that's a huge character red flag. I was sort of under the impression that it was a
misunderstanding.
And I don't want to make light of this, and I want to choose my words carefully. When I first read it about him, I thought that he got in trouble for having sex in the locker room at his high school with a 14-year-old girl. I thought he was
was underage as well.
I thought he was 17 or 18,
right?
Which may be a crime because of the age.
Yep.
It may be statutory rape or whatever.
Crime of passion.
But to me, that's a different thing than a sexual assault, a forced sexual act, which I have come to India sort of.
That's
said,
what I had
that's,
read.
That's some of the stuff that he's read. That to me is a different animal, and that to me would take him completely off the Patriots board if it was more something like that. But it's something that's what the combine's for. That's what the visits and interviews and stuff are for. You find out more information on these guys, and They have a lot more information than we do.
And the bar fight was a little, there was some question there.
The bar fight doesn't bother me.
We've all been in a bar fight.
The bar fight doesn't bother me at all. Sexual assault bothers me. I'm sorry.
Todd and Wayman, hey guys.
It's one of those things. Yes, I'm anti-beating up your wife. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Andy, I just watched the Kiper-McShay mock. The Patriots had Barr and Shazier on the board at 29, and McShay went with Hageman.
No chance. In real life, no chance that happened.
I had a coronary for you.
Yeah, I would have a coronary on draft day and be upset if that happened in real life, but there is no chance that happens.
Also, did you see the Caserio interview on CSN and NNE with Curran? You're right. I think Bill has somehow possessed Nick's body and is speaking through him. It was freaky listening to him, not looking at the screen. Think you saw this with Theo and Ben Sherrington.
Yep,
yeah, very similar.
They sound a lot like.
But Caserio is using the phrasing, the timing. He doesn't quite. Sherrington and Epstein, they actually sounded the same. They got the same voice. Caserio not there yet, but give him time. He's got a couple more years, maybe.
Okay. Let's see.
Why aren't you taking a break? The food is here. You usually just go right to a break when the food is here.
All right, let's do that. We food is here, so I don't want to interrupt that. And we'll be back. Lots of emails coming in with the best pre-draft show in the world.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Your Boston Bruins are in the playoffs, and Ace Ticket has your seats to all the games. Be there at Boston Garden for all the playoff action. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you will always get the best seats at the lowest prices. Ace has your tickets to all of this summer's biggest concerts. Luke Bryan, Billy Joel, Zach Brown, One Direction, and Katy Perry. Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit Ace Ticket. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
It was really, really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery.
But they take that field out, you know.
In trays.
But, yes, but right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
I really am. I can't help it.
I thought it too.
You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Who bought lunch today? Was it Warren Ladd? Warren Ladd from the UK Patriots, thank you very much.
And I just gave you the greatest salute I can give you, and that's a good belch after
that's
a hearty
throwing
lunch.
Up on your shirt.
That was tremendous, Warren. Thank you very much.
It's good. All right. Web radio at Patriots.com.
Fred, did you want to talk Bruins for a while?
Why?
I don't know. You seem to be off topic a lot today.
That's unbelievable. He's just... Fred, it's just so tiring.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Ukraine? How about these
Fred's
Nigerian abductions?
All right. No, I was eating. Bacon is salty.
That is a sad story.
Now, are you complaining about the bacon?
It's very big. We're all like throwing up here. It's ridiculous.
I'm not.
I'm not throwing up. I'm just.
All right. Web radio at patriots.com.
I don't know how you don't burp more, though. I drink one Pepsi and I'm like all over the place. He chugs bottles and he retains them. He sucks them in very well, but he never releases them.
But I've never seen anyone eat faster than you, Andy.
It's probably part of my problem.
It's unbelievable.
It's definitely part of your problem. You do eat like lightning quick.
It's like there was never a sandwich there.
I told you, a lot of people complain to me, like friends, that they never want to get appetizers and share them because like they feel this pressure to eat them so fast or they'll be gone because I'll eat them.
Right.
Like they can't sit and enjoy the appetizers for a while because I eat them too
it's
fast.
It's unbelievable. What's your
problem? Like the entire Gannett people.
Did people like steal your food when you were little or something?
No, I like to eat and I want to shovel it in.
But if you like to eat, you should enjoy it. Take a little bit more time.
You take more time, you get full. You can't eat as much.
No, that's not true.
No, it's the opposite.
That's not true.
Oh, yeah, no. You definitely get full.
No, when you're eating fast, you're ingesting oxygen, you're bloating
yourself.
Not true,
because they tell you to slow down.
He's right.
Dietitians tell you to slow down because you'll eat less. You get full faster if you slow down. Yes, no question. Fact, not opinion, as Mike Felger would say.
I know I get all gassy when I eat fast.
You certainly find a way to shovel it all in, whether it's fast or slow.
Nothing like you, though. I mean, I do eat fast, but not even close to what you do. You know,
I like food. I eat too fast to get the hiccups, so I force myself.
I like food.
Well, you're a whole different animal. You
maybe, yeah.
You know, you have it down to a science.
You're a picker. You're not an eater.
I pick. I eat.
You like to pick at your food.
Yeah, you're very petite, feminine
picky.
Style
yes.
of eating.
Yeah.
I wish I could be full off the amount that Eric eats. Do you ever see him finish a meal?
I do. Yes.
Open.
That's
that
not
box.
A meal.
Open that box.
Yeah.
But you had like what I would. Eat. I would consider that less than a slice.
Does your husband eat kind of meat?
No.
Wyatt Dodge from Anchorage, Alaska. Do you think there is a better chance we draft Andy's guy,
D1, more specific.
D1 or draft...
Dayone!
He's the one. Or draft...
He is the one, you're right.
Or draft some safety from Rutgers we don't know.
Dayone.
More likely they draft some safety from Rutgers that we don't
also,
know.
Also, I have this trade idea in my head. What do you think? Say... A quarterback Arizona likes falls to where we are in the draft and offers us this trade. Larry Fitzgerald, second round pick, John Skelton, Jonathan Dwyer for Patriots, first-round pick, Aaron Dobson, Stephen Ridley, Ryan Mallett, fourth, fifth, and sixth-round picks. Then we have a two second-round picks, draft D1, and use our third and second trade-up and get a tight end from Washington. I don't know.
I hope one of you was listening.
Yeah, it's too much. Too
much complicated. Yeah. I'm a big fan of the trade proposals. That was too much.
There's only 10 minutes between picks. So
I was getting an overcooked cookie.
But I
mean, these are pretty good, though.
They're overrated.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, bottom line is, would Arizona, is there anyone in the draft at 29 for quarterback that Arizona be willing to give up Larry Fitzgerald for? And you're kind of hurting yourself, because if you bring in a quarterback, isn't Larry Fitzgerald one of your biggest assets?
Right. Didn't they just redo his deal? So wouldn't they take like a cap acceleration?
I think it was just...
Yeah. He can't be traded.
Right.
Yeah, he's not going to be traded.
So why are we talking about it?
I don't know.
Might as well go back to Manziel.
Oh, another topic we can't talk about.
Phil in Austin, Kansas City's at 23 with no pick in the second round. Bill and Andy Reid usually make at least one trade during the draft. A trade up to 23 seems plausible, maybe with the Patriots giving them their second and getting back Kansas City's third. What player or players do you think Patriots would be interested trading up for to 23?
Maybe this is Anthony Barr.
Barr?
Yeah.
Maybe Ealy. Ebron, if he were to slip. Aaron Donald might be a possibility as maybe the best defensive lineman in the draft. A receiver, Marquise Lee or Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah.
I just don't see a receiver in the first round.
I don't rule anything out, Paul.
No, and you're wise not to, but I don't like Lee at all. I do like Beckham, but I just don't see a receiver in the first round.
There's going to be a lot of them that go.
Who, Lee is a kid from UCLA?
USC.
USC,
you were this close. You were this
Marquise?
Freaking close.
I actually gave him credit for that because, you know.
Pac-10.
Fulton, Los Angeles.
Pac-12, whatever. 13. I don't know. How many, teams are they up to this?
I don't. But that doesn't
I'm also not going to give him points off of that. I mean, if he had called it Pac-8, then I might have. You know, it hasn't been the Pac-8 for like 40 years.
There's a new
years.
One that's bothering me based on all that crap is one of them is the All-American Conference.
AAC.
And some guy was...
American Athletic Conference, I think it's called.
What? No, there's one that's American, I think.
American Athletic Conference.
And they write in their bios, All-American Athletic Conference. Right. And I quickly read it as he was
an
All-American. No. Yeah. He was All-Crappy Conference.
Mm.
They should just write all conference.
Not a great conference, but not necessarily great. It's not like
I see what you mean. You have no idea.
It's not CAA.
Sorry, he's not at 1,000 dominating the running game.
It's
the Yankee conference.
It's misleading.
Okay. Yes.
Because it makes it sound like they have an
all. If you really read, you know, I'm a stickler for words have meaning. If you really read it, you get it right.
Right.
But if you read quickly.
Some people think Blake Bortles might go in the top five. Right?
Right.
You know, AAC. I mean, all crappy conference.
Yep.
He's such an a-hole. He's such a baby.
Junior from Dorchester.
You can't equate that with...
Eric Swan didn't play college football.
One
he went
double,
in the top 10.
But you can't equate that with one double A.
The guy raked leaves for a living and went in the top 10. I don't know what my point was.
He was a big dude.
Junior from Dorchester. I was just wondering if you had a chance to look at the draft green room invites.
Oh, no, that was after you.
From a Patriots perspective, I found it interesting that players like Cody Latimer and Jimmy Garoppolo were invited, yet Anthony Barr wasn't. I know Barr's tape was very inconsistent, but it was very inconsistent a couple months ago when he was a top 10 pick. What do you guys think? And P.S., as a Roxbury Latin grad, I appreciate Eric representing the ISL.
You're welcome. Pleased to do it.
There's somebody else who doesn't appreciate it. Or was that last week? There was a guy who really distanced himself from your views.
Do you take anything from who gets invited to the green room and who doesn't?
Well,
don't chew into the mic, Andy.
It was intentional because these cookies are terrible.
They're not terrible. They're actually very good.
It's like a hockey puck, appropriate for the Bruins game.
It's not that bad.
If it's not the way he wants it,
oh,
it's
I know.
Terrible.
Oh, absolutely. No, you're right.
Can barely eat the second
you're
cookie
right.
I'm having.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so bad. It's so bad, Paul. I think I'm gonna have another one.
These would be good with ice cream in between and that little soggy up a little bit, kind of like the ones at your party last year, Fred, when they made the real ice cream sandwiches.
Yeah.
Those are phenomenal.
What do we make of the players that are picked for the green room?
Yeah, does it matter to you? And does it
not really?
You read anything into it?
No. It doesn't mean anything to me. And some of those guys might not even get picked.
That's his kind of point. Is they got Garoppolo in there, but they don't have Anthony Barr. You know, so
I don't know the details of any of the ones. I know some people say no.
I would.
I would definitely say no.
I'd be a nervous wreck. I'd want to be with my, you know,
my I'd want to be
people
with my
that
family.
I can like scream around, you know,
like the Gronkowski, like the Gronkowski thing.
Yeah,
I would want that in the privacy of my house.
Right.
Well, do you know what I mean? I wouldn't
want
to be on
a different breed,
stage.
Though.
No, absolutely, but that's not for most people.
I still. That was one of the funnier moments in the draft when he's got the helmet on and they're in the circle.
It was genuine and it was awesome. I'm not.
Oh yeah, they're genuine idiots.
Oh yeah, it's not for me. I would rather be with my family and then celebrate, you know, sort of privately.
Pop open a Miller Lite or nine.
He'd yell at somebody if they stood up in front of him. This is draft day. I like to concentrate. Don't stand up in front of me. No celebrating.
Can you imagine, in all seriousness, if you were getting drafted, you were going to be drafted. You know, you're somewhere in the middle.
How the draft or the first round?
No, the draft. Like, you're going to be, they said, you're like a third or fourth round pick. Arthur Lynch, your boy Arthur Lynch, who appeared today on the Sports Hub, Freddie.
Yeah.
Andy's guy. Can you imagine watching the draft, the amount of tension that you would feel? Because you could literally go anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Paul.
You could literally go anywhere.
In that case, you don't watch the draft.
See, if Paul was eligible to be drafted on draft day, like just before, he'd say, you know, I'm going to go down the store to get some, you know, Miller Lite or Diet Pepsi. And while he was at the store, he'd get into this huge confrontation and get arrested, and his draft stock would dip because of that.
What altercations do I get?
No. Fred, if he went to Babies R Us,
Babies
they'd
R,
be
yeah,
more likely for that to
like
happen.
That. You know, he'd get into this huge thing on draft day, and it would be a big story, you know.
Or he'd go for a walk and cry with his parents or whatever Brady did.
It was a really tough day.
Adam in Oakland. Are there other people like me who would actually be disappointed if we pick at 29? I'm not excited by anyone projected going there, and it seems like we'd have to jump 10 spots to get anyone special. I'd much rather have extra picks in the second or third to grab as many of Andy's guys as we can instead
it's a smart plan.
Of picking at 29.
It's a smart plan to get as many as my guys as can. But, no, I won't be disappointed. Depending on who they take, I won't be disappointed. But I do think a very logical, strong argument can be made for trading down second-round picks, safety, tight end. There could be a dearth of talent there, and you might be like Martin. Like, I see some people, like, maybe they'll take a guard. Was it Marcus Martin, the kid from USC who played center and guard? That certainly feels they could use an interior lineman.
He's a good athlete.
He plays
for that
both,
position,
blah, blah,
that.
Blah. But really? Are they trying to get a guard?
Yeah.
Would you feel, if they took a guy, because what I hate the most is I kind of agree with that email. Like, I would be a little disappointed if they took a player at 29.
But you were disappointed when they took Seymour.
Well, that was a different thing. I was way
you
off.
And Borges.
I was way off on that.
So really anywhere but 29. Move up, move down, but don't stay put.
And then ironically, both Paul and Borges became the biggest Seymour butt boys that ever existed. You guys were so far up his butt when he was here.
So it would be better if I just dug in my heels and stayed stubborn and said, you know what? I told you he couldn't play when we traded him to Oakland. I should have written a column saying, I told you I was right. And they agreed with me. They got rid of him. No, when you're wrong, you say you're wrong, and you admit it, you move on.
No, that's not the Andy
that
way.
Doesn't, yeah, Andy doesn't
exactly.
Do
thank
I
you, Fred.
I was wrong before.
Thank you, Fred.
You bang your head against the wall until it swells up to the size of a beach ball.
Is that what you did?
That's what he does. That's why it's so big. Adam also says, I've become very worried about our depth this season and holes next season. Next season, we could very realistically be without our cornerback and defensive tackle starters. We currently have zero subs for our linebackers and defensive ends, and this is the final year of our running back contracts.
Well, you're right. It's what we've talked about, the two-year window. And looking forward, there are some serious issues with depth and guys leaving. But now, remember, that's 2 years away. You have free agency. You have, you know, guys will come on, and an undrafted rookie will suddenly be part of the picture that you didn't think was part of the picture. But, yeah, there's some concern. That's why we've talked about, what did we list? Maybe tackle was, like, the only position that we couldn't see them
tackle,
drafting.
Tackle, kicker, and probably not quarterback in the first round.
But, I mean, they could go anywhere and do anything.
Fred, you would take a quarterback in the first round if it was the guy
if
that
it's the
you
guy
thought.
We love, then I would take him in the first round.
Teddy Bridgewater.
I don't love him. I don't think they do either.
Who do you love?
Who do you love?
None of these guys, really.
So, no.
So, who do you think they love?
I don't know.
A.J. McCarron?
Oh. No, not that much. Maybe they like Mecklenburg. You know, who knows? I don't know. But, you know, I'm saying is you're
right up there with that guy from Connecticut. Who knows? I don't know. No, you just said you don't, and no one does.
All I'm saying is that that window that used to not be open for quarterback is now open.
When was it not open?
Oh, I don't think you...
When they took O'Connell in the third or Mallett in the third?
I'm talking first round,
yeah, because they're not going to take one in the first round this year.
I'm saying that's not right.
He called me dummy.
If there's a guy that you love...
What do you say, Eric? Shut your effing mouth.
If there's a guy you love right now as a Patriot front office...
I'll say it 12 more times.
You should take him because that window's open now. It is open. It used to not be open. It is now for
now
first
the window's
round.
Opening.
So you're suggesting that like 4 years ago, if there was this same quarterback class... And you had a chance to get a guy that
you love.
You wouldn't have taken.
No, not 4 years ago. Nope. I used that asset for somewhere else on my team. Yep. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Damus is from Boston, and he calls himself a proud Husky grad.
Damus?
Hey, Damus.
Yeah, that's my name.
How do you spell it?
Graduate. Damas.
So. Oh, dumbass.
Alexander Dumas.
No. Yeah, something like that.
Dumbass.
I actually had a question for Paul because I did just graduate from Northeastern, and you seem to love sports, and I'm just curious as to why, because you would be pretty much alone with that on campus. There are not many sports fans here.
Yeah, no, you're right. My dad went to Northeastern. Long story short, he went there.
I doubt it. He took me as
a season ticket holder to hockey and basketball games when I was a little kid, and I've been going ever since.
All right, that's fair. Yeah, hockey is good.
Damus, you say on a college campus there's not a lot of sports fans at Northeastern?
Yeah, I mean, Northeastern is, I would say, more renowned for being a science and sort of research school than definitely a sports school. The hockey team's good, don't get me wrong, but...
Wow. When I went there, everybody loves... I mean, when I went there, when I was that age, you know, I had a lot of friends that went to Northeastern, and the campus was full of sports fans.
But no one went to the games.
I haven't.
They don't support the sports teams. I get you.
Well, no, and I'm just saying also from, I guess, an informal poll around campus, there aren't that many sports fans. We're definitely more concerned with our academics here, if we can say that. Maybe that's pompous or whatever. But I do have football.
Eric will say.
Sounds a little pompous to me.
Yeah, fair enough. So I'm sure you guys have already talked about Will Smith and sort of beat that subject to death, but... How will that impact the draft? And I guess now, what's the greatest need on defense? I'm thinking D tackle, but
yeah, I asked that question early. Everybody here agrees that it should not affect any way the draft, the signing of Will Smith.
Really? I mean, wasn't Andy all up on a few of the DNs?
Well, no, but think about it this way.
I think Will Smith does nothing. He's coming off an ACL. You don't know what he's got left in the tank.
The Patriots have to sign like 30 guys, so. Why, you know, Will Smith.
24.
So, you know, it's a low risk move. They need the bodies in camp at all positions. So why not bring him in and take a look? There's a chance he may not even make it out of camp. But
right. Remember Marcus Stroud or whoever we bring in, Jonathan Finnane. Some of these guys you bring in at varying levels of their expectancy don't ever play for your team for various reasons. And I put Will Smith very much in there. And even if he does play, maybe he's just Andre Carter and you still, Andre Carter wasn't good enough with Jones and Ninkovich. He was sort of irrelevant. So I still want to upgrade. So I still see that as a need position. But I've said all along, I also see safety as a very high defensive need position.
There's no way you can say, oh, we got Will Smith now. You know, we've answered the depth question on the line. You can't do that.
That's fair enough. I also view, I guess, linebacker as a major need position as well. But it sounds like you guys are more focused on the back end.
Well, no, linebacker's scary because you have no backups, and two of the guys, one's coming off an IR season in Mayo, which I expect to be fine, but it's still part of it. And the bigger one, Collins, you're expecting him to be a full-time player, starter, key core guy coming off a rookie season when he didn't really break into the lineup until the last month and a half.
Right. Yeah, knowing Bill... he's probably looking more at linebacker than we think he is because, you know, it's always been the core of any good defense he's had when you think about it, you know.
Yeah, he does love his linebackers. Yeah.
And, you know, Ryan Shazier, for example, in that little scenario. Right. Barr and Shazier are on the board, two highly thought of linebackers. Is Bill going to pass on those to take, Hagman? No.
Right.
He's not. He's probably going to take one of those guys because they're better prospects, and it is a somewhat position of need.
Yep.
I would say linebacker is almost as big a need as D-tackle. It's a little different because the guys aren't older, but you have no depth at either.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, Davis.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
I've been calling for a while, so.
Okay, well, yeah. There's at least one sports fan at North Carolina.
Go back to your geekdom.
Yeah. All right.
Geeks.
Don't listen to him.
Well, that's a sad place to go to school.
No, like most of the places around here, I mean, BC plays Duke in basketball, and, you know, the place might be half full. I mean, it's just not a very big college sports
town. When I was, you know, recently out of college and living on Comm Ave in Boston and still hanging around in the college crowd, BCBU, I mean, sports betting was, like, out of control. I mean, so obviously...
Might have been part of the problem with the BC part there, no?
No, but, I mean, kids were into sports. They, you know... Not
they're into it. The people that go are really into it. There's just not that many of them.
But and just sports in general, too. Sports fans. Not necessarily going to
I think there's more people that would sit home on a Saturday and watch the NFL playoffs than go to the basketball game.
Yeah.
So that's a sports fan.
Well, back then, BC had a pretty good basketball team. They sold out pretty much every game.
Yeah, but they had a tiny place, Roberts Center.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I went to a lot of the games back then.
And I go now.
You were both losers.
So you went to a lot of BC games, huh?
BC basketball. I went to some BU football games back then, Doherty.
His Forrest Gump life continued. Like, every time we talk about something, oh, I used to go to that, or I did this with him. Like, you have a little Forrest Gump to you.
But I here's something. You know,
but he
that's all I have to say about that.
It's not like at Emerson we had many sports going on.
But it's okay.
But you know,
it's okay for him to do it.
He's not still doing it.
I was wondering if there's any BU alumni
like
out there that remember when Doherty was a quarterback, at halftime they used to have the flag, you know, what do they call it? The flag, they twirl the flags. There's a name.
The band?
It was the band, but they had the flag people. Anyway.
The majorettes?
Majorettes.
Flag majorettes. People.
Well, they were all women.
No one was thinking he said anything else, Andy.
They were all women except for this one overweight guy. And he would come out, and the place would go crazy, like cheering for him. So if any of the BU people remember that, it was the funniest thing ever. And that was like the halftime show.
You remember the that last game?
Is that like the Dottie the
majority?
Yeah.
Do you know who they played against?
Oh, boy.
They won in overtime against Northern Iowa.
Okay.
In the playoffs.
Kurt Warner?
Kurt Warner's team.
Kurt Warner and Diedrich Ward.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Playing for Northern Iowa in a game that Northern Iowa absolutely dominated. But
little known
lost.
Fact.
Wow.
Now, were you on that team?
That was my senior year, the year I didn't play.
And they suddenly went undefeated.
Right.
Yeah.
Addition by subtraction.
So I might have been at a game.
That attitude problem.
I might have been at a game where you were sitting on the sideline.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. That's might something, huh?
That's something.
It is.
Look how far we've come.
That's all I have to say about that.
Forrest.
Let's go to Olivier in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. Yeah. Are you doing good?
Lunch was great, thanks to Warren Ladd.
Oh, excellent. So that means that I'm offering the one during draft day?
We don't need a lunch during draft day, but we'll pencil you in for next week.
Fantastic. Love excellent. You. So I'm calling you guys because I've been looking. I'm excited for the draft day, obviously, but I've been looking at a bunch of analysis from different, you know, writers. I'm not really sure how good they are, but I've looked at you know, some people thinking that we would pick up easily on the first draft. Do you think it's a good idea, or do you prefer to trade down and get a bunch of picks in the second and third round?
I prefer to trade down, but you're right. There's been some smoke with Easley coming off an ACL. I think he has more upside than Hagman. I like the player a little bit more. I wouldn't necessarily be in love with the pick.
He's another guy.
Should he fall, though, with like two surgeries on his ACL? I mean, it's...
Well, but some people think that is falling. Some people think he's like a top 10 talent.
Yeah, and he's right. I like him, but he's another one of these guys. You know, like when you brought it up, Fred, about the trading down, I like so many different guys, just not necessarily as the 29th pick. And I feel a little like Bill. Yeah, well, I like Aaron Dobson, but I can get him at...
And a lot of people think that Easley will be available in the second round.
Yeah.
Unless somebody takes him in the first.
Did you also read the analysis where they were projecting a quarterback being picked up as Keith Weening, whatever his name is?
Wenning?
Yeah, Wenning.
I got him somewhere on my list. I remember seeing him. Don't know much about him.
Yeah, I didn't love him. It's Wenning from Ball State. He's another one of those guys that played in the spread. So you got to kind of try to make a projection. Yeah. He could step
weak
in.
Arm.
I thought he stepped in a little bit, but not like fast, not mobile at all. And everything that I thought, really, you thought he seemed like a douche? I didn't write that.
Seems like he has an attitude.
A lot of timing and
I
short
can tell
stuff.
Off tape.
So you can look at that in two ways. I look at that as a negative, like a lot of short stuff and didn't necessarily get a chance to throw the ball.
46
down the field.
Career starts. That's a lot of starts.
But they might. The Patriots might look at that as, well, they like his ability to get the ball out on time and where it's supposed to go accurately.
I like Jeff Matthews better if we're taking a seventh round quarterback.
I like Jeff Matthews better, too.
Because Cornell, it's an academic school.
Andy and I were almost lockstep on all the quarterbacks.
I haven't seen anything regarding Barr. Is it Barr or Carr? I can't remember. Right.
Barr.
Barr, the guy that you like, Andy.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of the analysts recommending that we're gonna go for it.
Well, it's very rare that he's available at 29. That's McShay and Kiper. I don't know what they were doing. Most mock drafts have him going somewhere between like 12 and 16. You know, a lot of people, Dallas is at 16 as a possible replacement for, say, DeMarcus Ware as a pass rusher, edge guy. Pittsburgh, which is always, going after pass rushers and edge guys. A lot of people have him gone, but there's others that think he's a second round talent and to boom or bust. It's funny because you can look at things two ways. He's only been a defensive player for 2 years. So he's raw. He doesn't have great instincts. He disappears at times and all that. But I look at the pro side of that and say, well, when he learns how to play and when he learns how to read tackles and when he has a few little tricks of the trade, he's going to be even that much better. And to me, the raw, explosive, athletic, violent play is just something I'm going to say we haven't had on this team in New England since Andre Tippett. You haven't had that kind of a fierce, go get him and kill somebody and swat the ball out kind of guy, and that's what Barr is, in my opinion.
Okay.
Well, you said it.
All right, Olivier.
See you guys.
Thanks. See, the best case scenario for me is he is gone before we get there, because I don't want to pass on him. And then he can be great in Dallas or something.
Darius in London writes in, great show as always.
Top of the morning, Governor.
I have a question regarding the possibility of Bill trading down.
That makes no sense.
I'm not dissing Bill in any way by suggesting this, as I'd actually prefer us to trade down due to the depth in the draft class. Assuming we do.
He's going
to
trade up and everybody's going to be mad he didn't trade down.
What would be the minimum you would take? Obviously, it'd have to be a special scenario to acquire four picks like the Minnesota deal last year. So would you be happy with, say, a second and fourth rounder from a team like Jacksonville who may look to trade back into the first round for quarterback? Or would you be intent on staying where you are or, as Andy says, raise the bar if Anthony starts to slide? As for Rashid Hageman, I think I would rather contract hepatitis A or B with a little bit of polio thrown in. Keep up the good work, and looking forward to staying up late in the UK on Thursday night whilst watching the draft and listening to you guys bitch and moan all night.
We will indeed do that. As far as the trade thing, Jacksonville picks what, third? Third, I think. So 29 to 35, that might be plausible that they throw in a fourth.
Right.
But if it's 29 to 45, there's difference.
That would have to mean that there wasn't a run on the quarterbacks in the first round and all these guys are available in the second, right? That they have to have that quarterback and they know if they don't trade up, they're going to lose them. That would be the only reason they would do that, don't you think?
Well, I mean, I don't.
It'd be they could quarterback be, driven.
Maybe, but I don't know what else probably could drive it. Could be any number of players. Maybe there's a run on receivers and somebody says, I got to get the last one. Kind of like the Patriots took Ty Warren as the last defensive tackle. Maybe they need to get the last receiver, whatever that group is, if it's five or six.
That's a good
corners.
One.
Maybe cornerbacks. People say there's five really good corners and then there's a drop-off.
And that seems to be a position, the cornerback position seems to be one that all of a sudden is really skyrocketing. And I think a lot of people thought it wasn't a very deep position. Wasn't very top heavy, and now all of a sudden people are saying five or six first rounders. So we'll see. Maybe that is one of those situations where a few of them go at a spot. Because Ty Warren, that's a good example. They traded
Thanks,
up.
Paul.
They traded up a spot to get something like the seventh or eighth defensive lineman taken in the first 13 picks.
Right.
So they definitely said we got to get one, or we're not going to get
one.
And
it's funny how runs work like that. Runs either force you to go get the last one, or they force you to look elsewhere.
Yeah.
And it, again, it's how you look at it and what you're looking for, and it's kind of like the quarterbacks.
I think
you
generally the Patriots go elsewhere, but that was an example of when they felt...
Because they needed it, but they don't pick for need.
Right. Well, if you remember, that's always my example, because the 2002 team couldn't stop the run at all. And they needed a run-stuffing 3-4 defensive tackle, defensive end in that case, because it was 3-4. But Ty Warren was the guy. They traded up to get him.
Let's see. Paul in Ontario, as it's the last show before the draft, some quick predictions of how it will go.
The Canadians will flop all over the ice and take dives.
The draft starts
and be rewarded for it.
That's not what we're talking. That's not our predictions.
The draft starts with disappointment for the Patriot Nation as the Texans reject the offer of their entire draft board for Ryan Mallett. Andy is left in tears as the Broncos trade up to 28 and take Barr. There's a surprise immediately after that pick as Mayock takes the stage with the Patriots draft card, having been a late addition to the staff. Goodell is further surprised to see.
Oh, he's on Bill's staff, all right.
Oh. Goodell is further surprised to see 15 names listed on the card. Mayock argues that he can't choose between them and wants to draft them all.
I like that.
Goodell tells him that that's against the rules and he needs to pick just one, which causes Mayock's head to explode and the PFW inbox to be filled with messages from angry fans complaining that the league hates the Patriots. Perhaps inevitably, Bill then elects, with Plan A foiled, to draft out of the first round, putting the Eagles on the clock and causing Eric to fling his blood orange onto the table in disgust. He is somewhat mollified by the terms of the trade, however, as it sends our first along with Big Head to the Eagles for their second round.
I'm all for it.
To complete Andy's misery, we then use that second rounder to draft D1.
Stay home.
Even he's getting tired.
Very good. Paul put some good thought into that.
That was the best part of that was it's entirely plausible.
The Mayock stuff is priceless.
Yeah.
See him being added to the staff in the middle of the draft.
I noticed he redid his board, and there's still a lot of ties.
He's such a punani. Yeah. He's afraid that people will think he didn't have a guy that ends up being good listed as good.
And there's going to be a million guys that people don't have listed as good that are going to end up being good. It's just the nature of it.
But he's so insecure. He so wants to be Kuiper and McShay, and he can't. That's why everybody has to promote him. Have you noticed everybody at NFL Network is always like, oh, the god that is Mayock bestowing
information. Last week, Fred.
He's their guy.
Yeah, but they have to pump him up because he's so
He had a confidence. Conference call last week. Yeah. Mayock did, right? Yeah. So the NFL media guy, I don't know who it is that, you know, that does the, you know, the NFL PR. It's not like Brian McCarthy or Greg Aiello, the NFL media guys. This is one of their NFL.
This is the NFL media.
NFL.com guy tweets out, how deep does Mayock go in the draft? He just spent a couple of minutes talking about tight end Joe Don Dunking. Andy and I, who don't even scratch the surface on this stuff, watch video of the guy. He's from Dixie State. He's a tight end. Okay, so wow, let's drop everything we're doing because Mike Mayock knows.
Does he wear a Dixie cup?
I don't know. One of the 15 best tight ends in the draft. I mean, really? I mean, Dixie cup? Really?
It was kind of funny.
I mean,
right.
Let's give him credit for actually knowing the guys that are draft eligible. Wow, Mike Mayock.
Should we call ourselves Patriots Media? Because you know how they call themselves NFL media because they do
like
the various platforms,
right.
Like Batista writes and Rappaport does TV and writes. Should we be Patriots Media?
I guess
media?
We are Patriots Media.
I don't even like being called media.
Yeah.
How about Shill?
Shill. We got Shill.
Team Shill, Paul Perillo.
Devin from Baltimore says Clowney will be the biggest. He says Clowney will be the biggest.
Dining, then?
Fred just harumphed you.
What did we get thrown out of media dining? When?
Well, a couple times I've come back empty-handed.
When?
It's been a couple times.
Why?
Fred stood up for us and been like, what the heck? You remember that? I went up to get sandwiches, and I got thrown to the back of the line, and then I came back with nothing.
I don't recall this
at all. Happened at least three times.
Oh, I kind of do, yeah.
Who did it to you?
Yeah.
I'm not going to name names.
Well, is this back in the day when we had some other...
Director of Media Relations.
Does it rhyme? Was it with Racy?
Was what?
Is it rhyme yes. with Racy?
No, but like, yes. For what? Like, for the draft?
No, just for like a random Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
Well, why don't you stand up?
Why don't you grow a pair?
Are you a gelding?
I'll grow a pair this year.
Isn't that the horse
race? I'll be like, I can't come get lunch down here for the guys, but you guys come into my room and dive in the trash to get food.
Oh yeah,
we great movie. That. Love that movie.
Stay professional.
Devin from Baltimore. Clowney will be the biggest bust of all time, he says.
That's just stupid.
I read some.
Guess Andy said.
Well, he's not going to be the biggest bust of all time. That's Ryan Leaf.
Or it's one of them, yeah. Todd Marinovich.
He's not like
who was the old.
There's a lot of guys.
He's
Tony
Mandridge.
Tony Mandridge.
Yep.
He has no chance to be the greatest bust of all time. No
what
chance.
If he turns out to be like one of those guys.
He would have to be out of the league within a year.
But what if that happens? Is my point.
He won't.
I know the odds are against it, but at this time,
and he'd have to
before
have
before like, Ryan Leaf was drafted. No one was saying
but
that was a chance.
Beyond sucking, he'll have to have something else too, like getting into fights with reporters and drug problems and all that. Like there has to be even more to it. You can't even just suck to be the worst of all time. Okay. He will not be the worst of all time. No chance.
Okay.
0.0.
he also says, I read something.
There isn't. I don't know why you're laughing. And when was the last time a defensive end was like the biggest bust of all time?
Oh. I think when you come in when you come in with the type of hype.
But he played for a while.
Like Tony Mandridge did or Ryan Leaf did.
Those guys played for a while.
See, I think the quarterback is always going to be considered the bust because it's so easy to see.
Right.
Higher profile.
Yeah. It's hard to tell that a defensive end sucks, doesn't suck, plays, right. doesn't play, right. shouldn't be out there, the backup's better. Quarterback
is out
there.
That's my point.
Whoa,
people always
it.
Think that it's the safe pick. It's not really the safe pick. It's just you're going to get away
less
with it
criticized.
More because
right.
people aren't going to realize that Mike Williams, taken with the fourth overall pick by the Buffalo Bills, could not play.
Right.
Could not play.
But also, Mike Williams didn't chew out a reporter and steal drugs from the locker and blah, blah, blah.
But he
blah,
was
blah,
every
blah.
Bit as big a bust as Ryan Leaf.
Right, but not as big a DB.
But he wasn't a quarterback.
He was
a tackle.
I read something on NFL.com about the Browns trying to trade for a third first-round pick. Do you think it's a good idea for the Patriots to give them their first-round pick for the Browns' second-round pick and two third-round picks? So the Patriots would be trading the 29th pick for the 35th, 71st, and 83rd.
I would do that.
Yeah, I think I would too.
Assuming my bar didn't fall or, you know, there wasn't something on the board that I lusted after.
I would do that.
I would
like
definitely do that.
Sounds like a lot. I would do that.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, that sounds like a good haul.
Mike,
did I read that the Browns...
Why are you getting so mad when we're trying to analyze things? You're getting a little persnickety.
You have to turn your mic on, not off to talk. Did I read that these are the picks that the Browns had when they became the Ravens? It's the same numbers. Remember that Bill was credited for drafting Ray Lewis and
yes,
all that?
Is that what this is? The fact that he was 2 years removed? Yeah. No, I don't know.
Because they, like, some guy did a report, like, Ozzie Newsome was, like, telling him how to do it. I don't know, something. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, Fred, go ahead. You want me to keep talking because you have a cookie in your mouth? He's nodding, shook his head, nodding. Let's get back to Johnny Manziel in Cleveland. Cleveland, big topic today around here.
Yeah. Well, it's a big connection for this team, Cleveland.
Because of Lombardi?
You know, the head coach used to coach there.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, not really. It was a different team, different franchise, different ownership.
I don't know. Might as well have a connection to Baltimore now, even though Belichick didn't coach there. He's giving credit for their dynasty.
Well, you know, as coach, you invented the forward pass. You know, the guy from Providence, the TV guy.
Yeah, you're wicked awesome, coach. What he might as well have said.
Oh, I wonder if the blonde will be here. Stacey Dales, is that her name?
She will be here.
Oh, my God. Is she going to say, now you work the second round. I like to refer to it as magic. Well, it's a terrible magic trick when you pick bad things out of a hat.
She'll be here at the draft party, so you guys will see her.
Oh, will she really be here?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. We can't get anything better than Stacey Dales. We're the Patriots.
Well,
for God's
I
sakes.
Mean, she does literally and figuratively.
And which one of those wouldn't?
Take care of the organization.
Which one of the national media wouldn't take care of the organization? Maybe Burt Breer?
Bart Hubick?
He's not a national. He's a New York Post guy.
Yeah, he's not a national. Don't give him credit for that.
Mike from
Burt Breer still working there?
Yeah, Mike from
more than ever.
Really?
More than his. He's been writing all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
So I wonder if maybe he got himself out of trouble.
Signed an extension. Lucrative.
Lucrative radio career.
Mike from Rancho Cucamonga, California.
Who's from there, Eric?
Patrick Chung.
Isn't somebody else too?
Yeah, Steve Gregory.
I think so.
Was?
Both represented by, of course. I don't know.
What was that voice?
I don't know. The head of undersized...
Oh, David Cantor. No, he represents Weddle.
It was the
directory.
Head of the Halalipop Guild.
The head of undersized safeties.
Represented by... I know
Halalipop. That's what you sounded
yeah.
like.
I know it's going to be near impossible for us to get everyone that you guys like, even though most of them will be available in the second or third round. So if you had to either have Scott Crichton, D1 Buchanan, or Zach Mettenberger, who would it be?
Buchanan.
Down! Crichton.
Down, come, and the defense get good.
All right.
Do you think it's okay if I sing that at the draft party?
No.
Fred, I already told him not to do that, just so you know.
You can do whatever you want.
No, we can't. He's going to
liven it up a little bit.
He's going to be sitting next to me. I don't want that.
I'll have a T-shirt that says PFW on.
By the way, so we have this big draft party here every year.
Really,
the stadium
big party?
It's sold out. Everybody comes and goes to the club and watches the draft, eats food and everything. But before the actual draft starts, Andy, Paul, and Eric will be on stage answering questions from the crowd.
And that'll be emceed by Paul's new radio buddy,
Bob Sosie.
And that'll be a warm-up to Robert Kraft and Willie McGinnis up on the stage.
Oh, we got to loosen them up. We're the opening act?
You're the opening act.
Oh, so I should definitely sing. You got to tell jokes and sing.
You definitely want to get that Dayone song out before Mr. Kraft comes
out.
Who's
here from Foxborough? Anyone?
It's great to be back in Foxborough!
Cheap pop Mick Foley over here.
Maybe I'll do a little over. Paul, who do you think they should draft?
It doesn't matter who you think they should draft. Vitor is from Rio de Janeiro.
Who?
Vitor? I finally caught a break to join you live. My question is about Anthony Barr. Is there any chance that he can drop to, let's say, the 22nd overall pick
yes.
and Bill trades up for him? No. I really love his upside and his motor. I think he would be a perfect fit for our pass rush.
You're
can
right.
this
yes.
happen in your opinion?
No.
And
no.
how much would it cost to do this trade?
I don't know.
Seven spots?
The guy finally got a break from Rio de Janeiro, and you're not helping him out.
Well, Andy's going to.
Andy's
good with the draft value chart. I
just finally
Andy
got a break.
That.
He lives in Rio.
He said he finally
beautiful
got a
women
break
wearing...
to listen live.
Yeah, but
he
Andy's going to get to the. Andy's going to get to the draft value. You're good with that chart. You remember those values.
Only when I have the chart.
Oh, so I gave him too much credit.
We went up five spots to get Chandler Jones, correct? And that was a trade. So this is a little bit more than that. It's very feasible.
2?
29 to 22, seven spots. We went up five to get Chandler Jones. It's a very easy trade to pull off if they want to do it.
Second rounder?
Something, yeah.
And then you get maybe like a third or fourth
back.
Or something like that?
Yeah, you're swapping. But McShay and Kuiper are the reason that this is even plausible. They're almost the only people I see with Barr falling. Everywhere else, he's off at 15 or 16 by that time. And that is a more formidable trade. That's a tougher one to pull
now,
off.
Now, how would you utilize Barr?
I don't know. I would tell him to kill the man with the quarterback, especially if he's wearing an orange jersey and has a limp arm.
And the
he'd
arm
be my
is
Bobby
not as
Boucher.
Good as it was before the surgery.
He'd be my
surgery.
Bobby Boucher.
Never going to be.
For now, you're moving forward. I'm utilizing you as a rusher. I know you don't have a polished game. I know you're not a well-rounded. You need to be moving forward. So I'm going to be using him in an aggressive manner.
Some more Mike Dickett for you.
Yeah,
I know you're not a well-rounded. I just want to
finish the sentence.
The quarterback.
Guy is a Hall of Fame player, Hall of Fame coach, and a
not
tremendous
a Hall, not a Hall of Fame coach.
Yeah. You know, I would say our football knowledge is similar.
I would, too.
Yeah, I would, too.
Well, but you're an idiot. You think he never did anything. We've had that long-standing debate.
As a coach.
He's one of the most decorated men who's ever dealt
you
with
take
the game
it to
of football.
The theater of the absurd on the other side. You're the anti-Andy. You take it to the ridiculous the other way.
Okay.
With anybody that you don't like.
Right.
He's done more
Andy exaggerates
for the game
people
of football
that he does like
than Bill Belichick.
Right.
Played, coached,
are you denying that?
What?
Commentated.
That comment that he just made.
I really was hoping for a larger response from him. I thought
I wasn't listening. Alex from Philly.
Tiring.
You're tiring.
Alex from Philly.
No, it's tired your heart from trying to pump blood through that fat shoulder.
91
that
days.
That fat shoulder?
2,184 hours, 131,040 minutes, 7,862,400 seconds,
rent?
And over 1,000 combined mock drafts. And finally, 2014 draft is upon us. No more of the experts droning on about who's rising and falling. No more stacking the board horizontally as well as vertically. And no more top five lists that really have eight. We finally get to see players get picked. I understand the NFL's pathological need for the money grab, but the wait for the draft was too long, just too many anonymous reports, too many draft shows, and too much rampant speculation and misinformation. Thank God for probably the greatest one round of an NBA playoff to distract me. Anyway, looking forward to the draft shows, which I know will be epic, and also looking forward to Angry Eric when we take that guy from Rutgers in the second round.
Me too. Kevin, good job in there. What are you, YouTubing some Bruins Canadian stuff?
I'm Barstool.
I'm glad you're busy.
Yeah.
Did we not, really? What? In the middle of the sentence, I forgot.
Wow.
Why? That's even worse than Ditka. Ditka has thoughts he's trying to get out.
I could have CTE. Yeah. Oh, one of the things, did you guys read the Jay Glazer column the other day?
No.
Where he asked a number of GMs about the extra 2 weeks, and the first quote was, epic failure, they got to go back to the old way. The second was, I really liked it, it gave us some extra time to do some things. The third was, oh, I'm lukewarm. Like, people looked at it completely polar opposite ways and everything in between.
Give you time to run half marathons, you can
go to Vegas. Did we not get anything out of that? No photos, TMZ, anything from the Saints going to Vegas for the weekend?
I don't know.
I mean, it's not like Rob Ryan is hard to find.
He's a
big fat man with long hair and likes to act like an idiot. Right?
I didn't even hear about this.
The Saints went to Vegas. The hay was in the barn for the Saints.
Yeah.
For the draft.
So they all got on a plane?
They all got in a plane. They went to Vegas.
Oh, you mean the scouts and everything?
Yeah.
Oh, coaches, scouts.
That's a great idea.
Well, team building, bonding,
sort of.
This is 2 years from now when they have a bust in the first. Maybe you shouldn't be going to Vegas the day before the draft.
Look, what?
In Fred's defense, that would be your
thing. There is a case to be made for over scouting. I mean,
there's a case to be made for overworking, period.
Right.
You know, you get too deep into something.
Oh, yeah.
No, but
Well, there is no need for the coaches to have to work 20 hours a day.
No.
Even in season, yeah, you're right.
Ever.
There's also an argument
to be made, if you have to do that, then you're probably doing something wrong.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly right.
I don't make that argument.
You know?
But you know how that works. Everybody's afraid to leave.
Keeping up, it's an arms race.
Yeah, everybody's afraid to leave.
Unless you own your own business and you're doing everything.
There's nothing else we're going to learn about these guys. Let's go to Vegas. I like it.
Yeah.
I love it.
I like it.
Andy's right, though. It.
It's like, you know, when you're studying for a test in school, a lot of, like, there were some people who would, like, study right up to the very last second.
Right.
And then there's some people who, like, did as much as they could beforehand and were just like, I'm not really going to know anything. Yeah,
I was the
guy
that only studied at the last second. Oh, shoot, got the test tomorrow.
So was I.
No, I don't mean starting at the last minute, but there were people, like, who would study right up until the last second.
I
couldn't do that.
I used to always tabulate that, you know, like 6 hours of sleep. If I do this and this, I still can get like 6 hours of sleep. And then, you know, because anything less than 6 hours, then you were just like dragging.
Yeah.
You know? That would be the, well, if I start studying then I can get to bed by then. And then I can, you know.
Well, back in Paul's day, he needed 1 hour of sleep for every six pack. So if it was, you know.
I thought it was going to be a different joke.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be an age thing about, like, I don't know, in the one-room schoolhouse out in the prairie.
I was the worst student of all time. Just enough to get by.
I think that's how most people are. I think it's very rare that they don't try at all, and I think it's very rare to have they put all out effort, and most people are in the middle.
Why get an A when you can get a B? That was my theory. Worst student of all time.
Now, using that theory, why would you get a B if you can get a C?
Because then C is a bad grade. Just enough to get by.
Let's see. John writes
such in. Such a miserable disappointment of a human being.
I really am.
John,
like, wasted.
Such a
just
classic.
Wasted commodity.
Such a classic underachiever, Andy, in so many different ways. It's ridiculous.
John has a gripe with Andy on two separate occasions, both recent. You referenced being told that, quote, you were nicer in person than on the show by a woman in a Denver bar the night before the game against the Broncos in 2009. The person who said that to you was me, Johnny in L.A. I'm 6'1", 233 pounds.
No, there was a woman.
And usually have a beard. Not exactly the model of femininity.
So you're not dating right now?
You must have been buzzed that night, right, pal? He calls you pal. No. Well,
hey, buddy.
There was definitely a woman, somebody's wife. I want to say it was the tree counter's wife.
Now, here he goes. Now he's going to make it out that she thought he was hot.
No.
She was there. I remember that.
I want to say the tree counter's wife, like,
Matt
had
Damon.
Previously been on the record saying she wanted
tree
to strangle me.
Tree counter is Dana, by the way.
Oh, okay. Well, I call him tree counter.
I know. I'm just saying.
It's not a derogatory term like tree hugger. I'm calling him tree counter. He counts trees. It's a literal term.
I know.
But I'm pretty sure his wife was on the record of having said she wanted to strangle me when he listens.
Mm.
And then in person, I was not as bad as...
Which basically just
but he
means
may
that
have
you're
said
not
it
a,
too.
A sexist.
I mean, and I'm. He, I mean,
buffoon.
He may be very. But he is.
What?
But we all know he is.
But wait, he doesn't say the incredibly insensitive sexist remarks to someone's face when he meets them.
Right.
So he's
not upon
first meeting.
Right.
So he's
yes,
much
exactly.
nicer.
I wait a little.
You wait a little while, and then if there's a microphone in front of you,
really what it means is you're not a complete ass in person.
Right. That was the tone. And that's
did you hear Lou Maloney use the whole word yesterday?
Oh, yeah?
On the air?
In reference to Keith Olbermann.
Oh.
Called him an a-hole.
Oh, he's upset, very upset.
The whole word?
Well, Keith Olbermann was an idiot.
Keith Olbermann thinks the Bruins need to do something about racism, basically. They need to. The Bruins need to eradicate
Where
racism.
Is Keith Olbermann? Is he even on TV?
Yeah, it's on ESPN.
Yeah, but it's a weird thing, right?
It's a strange show. I've watched it a few times. It's
Connor in New Hampshire says, I realized when I heard the Andy Twitter in the NFL will be dead in 2 years comment, and I thought I would send a few quotes from around the 2011 draft.
Oh, for crying out loud, stop digging up dirt!
I will Listen, we need to get rid of all the archives off the air. I'm tired of looking like a buffoon!
I will spare your name with the quotes. First one, J.J. Watt is a rich man's Mike Wright.
I think I may have said that.
That sounds like your kind of a comment.
Cam Newton will
play... He's really rich. He's Bill Gates. Yeah.
Cam Newton will play for four teams in 8 years.
That might have been me.
Christian Ponder...
And... We're only in year, what, four for him? So he's got time.
Christian Ponder is the most NFL-ready quarterback in this draft.
I feel like I might have said that.
And three guesses who said this. Nate Solder pronounces his name wrong.
Did you really say that, you pompous ass?
I don't think I
How
did.
How else would you pronounce that?
Not
solder.
Not solder. Not that the word soldering is spelled
S-O-L-D-E-R. We're always thinking about Sodom. I mean, what?
Not
No.
Sodom.
Not Sodom. Solder.
For God's sakes.
It's always on his mind.
See, that's what happens, though. If you weren't out to Denver, you wouldn't say that.
It is funny, like, soldering and cauterizing and solderizing. Like, it's kind of a weird...
I think a guy like Solder, as Andy would say, not sold.
See, he wasn't sold on him.
I wasn't.
Right.
I wasn't either.
I thought he was weak. Remain such.
Well, they're sold on him.
I know.
Speaking of which, I thought
love
we were
the guy.
Huh? I thought we were getting Nate Solder at some point.
No. We
maybe next.
We're
week.
Not getting any players this week.
Ever again.
Well, you know, apparently it's not a safe haven for them.
Safe haven.
Yeah.
I've been calling the last guy that came through this studio Marshall Faulk for 4 years.
Yeah. It's not.
Andy and I, you know,
it's not a port in the storm.
Been practically letting him sodomize me.
Didn't they go any port in the storm?
Why, what did he say?
I said it's not a safe port in the storm.
See, I just went with Shane Vereen had too much fun
with
us last
week. It is any port in the storm.
It is, but that's the same. But that's not what I was going
for.
No,
because if you wait for a safe one, you're going to die in the storm. It's quickest port, get in there.
I know, but that's not
any port in a storm. That's what it means.
I knew what you were trying to do, Fred. We're not even a port that they can settle in.
There's no safe.
Well, they've passed over us for a safer port, like Mike Reese.
No, but it's any port in a storm. So even the bad one will do if there's a storm coming. We're not even an option in a storm, is what he's saying.
So they're going to sink in the storm.
It's mostly used in a different
It's mostly used at about quarter or two.
Yeah, at a bar.
On a Friday or Saturday
outside
night.
Antonio's with a nice
any port in a storm.
Plump young lady.
Oh. Fat girls need loving, too.
Fred. That might be the funniest thing he's ever said. A nice plump young lady.
A chubby chaser?
Oh. One more call. He's been hanging on. Mikey Vandalism's on the line. Hey, Mikey.
Tell us, what's going on? Long time no talk.
Yeah.
How's it been?
I'm all riled up. I'm getting ready to go to the draft. Getting all geared up. I got my poncho ready. Apparently it's going to pour on us.
Oh, you're actually going to Radio City?
I go every year.
Okay.
You're going to meet it's supposed to rain Thursday night?
Yeah, Thursday, here? Friday, yeah.
Nice. Could use a rain out.
Are you rocking any PFW gear?
Rain all weekend?
Oh, yeah. I will have my PFW gear under my Revis jersey.
Okay.
You have a Revis jersey already?
Immediately got it shipped to me.
Wow.
Now, did you do the custom order thing or whatever?
I actually had to fight with them a little bit because I guess they didn't get the shipment in on time, or I don't know what the heck happened, but I told them I needed it for the draft I was going, and I wanted to represent Revis and piss off all the Jets fans.
That's awesome.
That's great.
I can't wait.
It is.
I bought it.
Take a selfie.
So we'll be able to find them then.
Take a selfie. Yeah. Send it to us.
With the 29th pick. But first,
let me take a selfie. So, fellas, what are we going to draft this year? Nice. We have a plethora of things we could do. Who are we in love with? Who are we not in love with? I want a receiver. I'm not enamored by anybody that we have.
Yeah, but is it a big enough upgrade? That. I mean, given the holes that you have, is receiver a need position or a luxury position?
I mean, I guess you could say it's a luxury because we plug in pretty much anybody and it seems to work.
Well, but does it, though?
Didn't work last year.
Does it when we could only throw to Edelman and the offense was sucking down the stretch?
Well, I think they made a huge mistake standing in the door for as much as they did. They should have just brought in their guy and they gave Edelman the shot. Before Welker, I think, was sitting on the bench, if you remember, and they were giving Edelman a shot, working him in the offense, and then he got hurt, went down, and it was back to Welker again.
Yeah, they screwed up with Amendola, but, you know, That water's under the bridge, no matter how rough it was.
I think they have to eat it with him.
Port.
He's throwing flashes. And Edelman, if he could stay healthy, he looks like he's productive, obviously, in our system. But I think we still need, I really would like to get a playmaker.
You know what Edelman is becoming? A little bit of the, you know what I like to call it, Paul? The Al Jefferson? He caught 100 catches. He went 20-10, but it didn't matter. Like, we weren't good enough when he was carrying the offense, right? You weren't winning. You weren't doing what you needed to do.
I agree with Mikey's point that I'm not enamored with any of them, and I'm not. But I just don't see how you can invest a first-round pick and then get rid of one of those guys that you've sort of invested in.
Well, you're very much invested in
four guys:
Amendola, Edelman, Dobson, and
LaFell.
Thanks, Mikey.
So four guys, you're having to admit a mistake, basically. You're having to give something up that you invested in.
You almost can't get rid of any of those four guys.
Right.
So now you're sitting there saying, I'm going to bring this guy in, and if he's better than those four guys, great. But one of those guys that I have kind of stuck with is going to be on my roster. Now, it's not prohibitive.
No.
Not cost prohibitive. I mean, no one really makes an amount of money that would lead you to believe, well, he's got to play. He makes too much money.
Well, Amendola makes too much money.
Yeah, but they're not going to get rid of him. Well, I don't think they're going to get rid of him this year.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of our pre-draft draft show. We will not have a show Thursday at noon, but we will be on air starting with the first round at 8 o'clock Thursday night.
In its entirety.
And we'll be on air throughout the whole first round.
Eric live tweeting every pick as it happens.
Wherever you are in the world, this is the premier radio draft show ever.
That's right. Get up early or stay up late.
All right.
We invented it.
We did.
We were the first.
So we will see you Thursday night.
Podcast.
Go Patriots. Go NFL Draft. Thanks for listening.
Go Bruins.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.